Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street. You just can't buy a Nissan for less. McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee, OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg, all together better. By Cratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Special night here at Van Dyke Field. As we talked about coming out of the pregame, it is Pink Out Night. They've had a fundraiser going on this week for the Benton Davis family. Three-year-old Benton Davis, again, suffering from cancer, battling cancer, and battling it very successfully, but it's a long road still to go. And he leads the team out of the locker room, breaking through the paper sign to a roar from the crowd, and that's how things get started here tonight, as if there wasn't enough excitement and anticipation with this one coming in. Rock Island, again, 3-3 in the Western Big Six. They're 2-1 in the conference. Silver Streaks in first place, looking for their first outright conference championship since 1991. They are 3-0 for the first time since 1991. And as Jim and I were looking at the AP polls just a little bit before we got started here tonight, Galesburg's actually getting votes now in Class 5A, even though the IHSA on the website doesn't list them in Class 5A. And that's how much respect Galesburg and Coach Tim Doherty are starting to get around the area as we are ready to get this game underway. Trey Nimmers deep for Rock Island, along with Michael Sudbury standing at their 5 and inside the 5-yard line as the kickoff goes down the far sideline and scooped up on a short field at the 20, and a run back coming up the middle of the field, crossing the 30 to the 35, close to the 36-yard line is where this game will begin. Jim Lee down on the sideline as always, and Jim, it's, you alluded to it during the pregame, perfect night tonight.
Absolutely. It's not too warm, not too cold, not too windy. Just everything can be focused on the matter at hand, and that's for the Silver Streaks to see if they can't take home this Western Big Six title here. Rock Island, I just was thinking on special teams, a good quick return man. Our special teams have been very good this year, and let's see if that'll hold up here tonight. That'll be a big part of this game.
Alec Jacobs is the quarterback. He steps back to pass on first down, going down the far side of the field. It's juggled and caught inside the 30-yard line. Man-to-man coverage down the far side against Fernando Diaz, and Jacobs went deep to Jacob Ellis, and it's complete. And Rock Island makes a statement on the first play of the game.
A juggling catch by Ellis. I thought Diaz's coverage was pretty good. He just went up maybe a hair too early, and the receiver able to tip that ball up in the air to himself and came down with it.
So from the Rocks 36 to the Galesburg 27, and a swing pass to the near side is caught again, and the Silver Streaks running Deshaun Davis out of bounds inside the 15-yard line, and two very quick plays by Rock Island, and the Rocks are inside the red zone.
You know, they always say sometimes it takes a little while to adjust to the speed of a game, and our last two opponents, while they've been rugged, have not been particularly fast. This is a whole different outfit here for Rock Island.
Two passing plays. Boy, are we a long way removed from Vic Boblitz. Rock Island Rocks. Handoff to the right side, Trey Nimmers, who did a world of damage against United Township, and he dives down low to the 10-yard line for a gain of four more, and it'll be second and six from the Silver Streaks 10. Six innings done down in St. Louis. Cardinals still holding on to that 1-0 lead over the Cubs.
See, this is where all the excitement is here tonight. Although maybe Cardinal fans find that score exciting.
Second down for Rock Island out of the shotgun. They go to Nimmers again, He breaks free of a tackle in the backfield, but slowed down, and the Silver Streaks are able to converge at the 9, holding Nimmers to a gain of a yard. Could have been down for a loss, but Nimmers slipped free and battled forward for one more.
Yeah, Mike Velasquez had his arms wrapped around him. You don't get away from Mike very often, but Nimmers did that time and able to at least get back to the 10-yard line.
Yeah, so actually no gain. Third and six now from the 10. Out of the gun. And now Jacobs stands back, looks to the sideline. Nimmers lines up behind him, rolling to the right. Pressure in the backfield, flushing him out of the pocket, still flushing him back. Throws off his back foot into the end zone and caught. Touchdown, Rock Island. And they take five plays to march down the field and a touchdown reception by Jacob Ellis, his second catch of the scoring drive.
Well, that was all about Ellis. That pass was nothing special. I thought he was just throwing it away initially. And then when I saw the traffic around there, I thought it was a pretty good chance we would intercept that pass. But Ellis, with that size and leaping ability, just went straight up and came right down on the goal line.
So that quiets this excitable crowd. Just a minute 40 into the game. And the kick on the way is good. And Rock Island, Zach Bloomberg boots it through the uprights. And if you thought this Rock Island team was going to come down here and roll over against this Galesburg defense, they took a minute and 40 seconds to prove that the shutout run is ending quickly.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. There will be no shutout tonight. But we've seen what Rock Island can do offensively, but now we'll see what they can't do defensively. And what they couldn't do last week was stop East Moline, a team that's pretty challenged offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to think the Silver Streaks, if we don't turn the ball over tonight, should be able to put up some pretty big numbers on the offensive side. Let's do it with this opening drive and see if we can't get this thing even up.
And again, of all things, who'd have thought all the years we've been doing this, Jim, that Rock Island would move the ball downfield through the air?
Well, and again, they went, I give as much credit again to Ellis, the wide receiver, as anything there. Two really, really good catches. And so he was more the show than anything else they did.
Bloomberg with a high but short kick to the far side of the field, received by the Silver Streaks at the 13. Nick Myler dancing between defenders, works his way to the 25-yard line and up to about the 28 before finally brought down.
Heading out onto the field, that big Galesburg offensive line ready to do some damage up front, try and free up some holes for Morin and Myler and Ross and company to get it down the field.
Silver Streaks' first drive of the game starts at their own 29. Top of the seventh in St. Louis. Cardinals leading 1-0 in game one of the National League Division Series. And I thought I saw a flag come down. I thought I saw the arm motion by the officials. I never did see the flag, but apparently there was one. So the Streaks are going to get backed up to the 18-yard line. So let's see what Jacob Ross and company can do. Ross, the starting quarterback. Backed up three-year starter Peyton Isaacson all last season. He lines up in the gun with DeAndre Morin to his right. And they hand off to Morin, who tries to work his way to the right side. Finds a little bit of a hole still on his feet and then pushed down just across the 20-yard line for a short gain on first down. DeAndre, of course, had big offense through the first couple weeks of the season, especially up in that route at LaSalle, Peru. It's been harder to come by lately, and Nick Myler has emerged more as the primary running back. 2 weeks ago against United Township, of course, neither one of them were needed as the Silver Streaks won big and did a lot on defense that night. Second and seven. In the gun, Ross. Up the middle to Myler across the line of scrimmage. Sorry, not Myler, but Morin again. Up to the 23. Gain of a couple more, and third and short, or third and about medium distance for the Silver Streaks on this opening drive.
And lineman Matt Ricketts will have to come off for a play. Had some sort of a helmet or a chin strap problem. He trots out, and the Streaks now on a third down, and call it probably six, a long five or six. Gone inside with Morin. You usually think of him more the guy that's going to peel around to the outside. Yep. Miter was out in pass formation the last two times. Now we're back in an I formation.
And Ross comes under center for the first time. Rolling out to the near side. Little bootleg. Pass away. Caught by Myler underneath at the 30-yard line. Advances forward for a couple more. And that's 5 yards past the first down marker. And a big third down conversion for the Silver Streaks to not give the ball right back to the Rocks. Already up 7-0.
You wonder how many times they've run that in practice, because they ran it perfectly there. Ross waiting for the play to develop through a strike. Myler looks it right into his body. And then, as Nick so often does, he doesn't sit there and wait to get the hit. He lowered his helmet and dished out some punishment to Christian Sepulveda of Rock Island as he made the tackle.
Goes as a gain of 9. Ross back in shotgun formation. A little deeper than he's been lining up. Quick pass to the near side. Caught by Myler. Sidesteps a defender. Spins off another one and wrapped up at the 40-yard line. A pickup of 8 more. And the Rocks had defensive pressure in the backfield, but the Silver Streaks responding quickly. We're able to make a gain of 7 out of it. The ball is going to be spotted just short of the 40. Gain of 7 to the 39-yard line. Second pass completion from Ross to Myler, his favorite target statistically this season. Now the Streaks pack it in tight with the tight ends, 2 wideouts to the near side, the short side of the field. Handoff goes up the middle, spinning off the tackles and diving forward across the 40, close to the 43-yard line, as the extra effort by Myler, tough to tackle, gets the first down a yard past the marker. So the Silver Streaks move the chains. Didn't face third down a whole lot last week, despite the frustrations that took place in the first quarter with a lot of the officiating that the Silver Streaks disagreed with many of the calls. And don't face third down here on this series. They get a new set of downs at their own 43-yard line. Again, coming up under center, Ross with the fake, drops back, looking to go deep, pump fakes twice, now off his back foot, throws it high and out of bounds, and a good job by Ross to just unleash that one and avoid both the sack and the potential turnover.
Yeah, that was a heck of a job by Ross. He was trying to look over the field, look to his second option sideline. It wasn't open. He wasn't going to try and force something in there and get a pass intercepted. He knew he was still inside the hash marks and able to just throw it in the general vicinity over there of a receiver anyway, but out of the range of anybody to catch it. For a guy that's just in his first year starting as a varsity quarterback, that was a good play.
Rock Island scored on its opening possession, took 5 plays to move it downfield. They lead 7-0. This is the Streaks' first possession. Handoff to Morin, running east-west, trying to get to the outside. Crosses midfield at the 50, up the far sideline. It's a foot race. One man to beat with the angle. Lee elbows into him inside the 10-yard line, and Morin takes the Streaks down to first and goal at the Rock Island 7.
That's the Rock Island defense we expected to see, or lack thereof. First big play of the night for the Silver Streaks, and you figure maybe DeAndre Morin might have a breakout game. But again, the last couple of opponents we've had, pretty physical, tough to get much going even with Morin's speed. But you can get onto the edge on Rock Island and make some things happen, and Morin with his longest carry in quite a while.
DeAndre with just 31 yards on 8 carries against Olivan last week. That run went for 50. And first and goal for the Silver Streaks down at the 7 as we go under 7 minutes to play here in the first quarter. Out of the I formation, tight ends packed in tight, handoff Myler running left, bounces off a man, dives for the goal line, and he's got it! And the Silver Streaks are within 1 with 6:48 to go in the first quarter. An 8-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks covers 82 yards, and the Silver Streaks respond on the Rock Island opening scoring drive. Galesburg in business here with Joe Anderson in for the extra point attempt. Clark Hawkins the hole, Dalton Ramsey with the snap. Silver Streaks line up everybody to the right. Now the shift back left. And into more traditional formation.
Position on the sidelines tonight, Dr. Greg Shire just talking with him. We decided we're going to get our exercise tonight moving up and down the field with these offenses.
Silver Streaks trying to tie it up. Good snap. Hawkins gets the hold down. The kick is up. And good, and we're tied at 7. 6:48 to go first quarter. Streak 7, Rock Island 7. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Exciting news from Dave's Auto Body. We are now F-150 aluminum truck specialists. We're one of the small percentage of shops in the state of Illinois who are equipped to handle this brand new truck. It's exciting for us. It's a great truck. Come to Dave's Auto Body if you need to have it repaired.
Opportunities knocking. If your business is looking to hire, there's no better way to reach thousands of prospective candidates than radio. Learn all about it at galesburg.info, keyword jobs. You'll talk to people at work, home, and play. That's the power of radio.
Congratulations to Kimberly Fry of Galesburg, winner of a pair of tickets to see Game 2 of the National League Division Series with the Cubs and Cardinals tomorrow. Congratulations, Kimberly, from Buffalo Wild Wings and WGIL.
7-7, Galesburg and Rock Island. 6:48 to play here in the opening quarter. An 8-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks covers 82 yards. And Galesburg takes 3 minutes, 32 seconds off the clock. Nick Myler's 7-yard touchdown run ties it up at 7. Top of the 7th in St. Louis. Cubs put the leadoff man on base. He's still there with one out and a 1-0 Cardinals lead. And a line drive kick by the Silver Streaks up the far side of the field, scooped off the ground at the 24, and a big finishing hit made at the 35-yard line, trying to knock the ball loose. And the Silver Streaks did a nice job polishing off Michael Sudbury's run, and the Rocks will start this drive at their own 30.
Well, either we've mishit two straight kickoffs or that's the plan. My guess is that's the plan. They don't want to kick the ball too deep, but go ahead and give up yardage here at the 30 or thereabouts rather than give one of their deep guys a chance to take it to the house. Joe Anderson got roughed up there a little bit on that kickoff. Number 76, Chad Hipkins got on top of Joe and kept him down there for a while.
Stark County with a 34-0 lead on West Central. 7:42 left in the first half. That game quickly approaching a running clock. Little run by Nimmers on first down, gains 2. Second and 8 for the Rocks from their own 38-yard line. So back-to-back drives for Rock Island starting from their own 36. They marched it downfield largely through the air on the first drive and scored. Here's a pass across the middle, and it's a foot race. And then the ball pops free at the end after the Silver Streaks make a diving tackle. But I believe the officials are saying the ball popped loose off the ground after the completion made by Casey Commodore. And the Rocks will have it and right back in business at the Galesburg 32-yard line.
Well, and guess who made the touchdown-saving tackle? Nick Myler, a dive and able to get him at the ankles from the back. I know we go on and on every week, but what a good football player Nick Myler is, and another case in point right there. Otherwise, Rock Island's up 13-7.
As it is, it's a gain of 31. The snap high, the handoff to up the middle by Jacobs. It was a pretty big threat of his own, as you heard Coach Tim Doherty talk about in the pregame show. And despite the big game that Nimmers had last week on the ground against UT, Coach Doherty is probably more concerned about the quarterback Jacobs than anybody as he picks up 5 on first down. Cardinals get a double play on the Cubs to end the top of the 7th. Still 1-0 Redbirds.
Ugh.
7th inning stretch. 2nd and 5 for Rock Island from the Galesburg 26. High snap, fake handoff. Jacobs in trouble and sacked in the backfield. Back at the 30, maybe the 31-yard line.
Mike Velasquez leading the charge that time for the Silver Streaks. Great to see some pressure.
Jacobs pump faked, and when he did, the Silver Streaks were right there to not give him another chance at it. A loss of 4 back to the 30, and it brings up 3rd and a long 8.
You know, we were talking last week about what a great job the secondary for the Streaks has been doing with Diaz, Clay, Myler, Mitchell, and others. But they're going to be tested tonight because Rock Island's going to throw it a lot.
Hand off to Nimmers running left, trying to get to the inside. A flag comes down as Nimmers bounces his way off a man inside the 20. Steps out of bounds at the 16-yard line or else he was going all the way. But this one may come back on a hold. The officials will confer right there where Nimmers stepped out of bounds at the 16-yard line.
Looked like 85 Casey Commodore over here, one of the wide receivers, was holding right along the Silver Streak sideline. They're still talking about it, but he was even hanging his head walking away, so I've got to think that's going to be the call.
The flag down back at the 23, and there's the hold signal made against Rock Island. So from the 23, it'll go back 10 yards to the 33. And negates a big gain by Trey Nimmers that, if nothing else, would have given Rock Island a first down. And darn near a touchdown. Of course, we're keeping an eye on what else is happening in the Western Big Six tonight, most notably the Moline-Alleman game. Moline just a game behind the Silver Streaks. Alleman hoping to get back on track at 1-2 in the conference. So 3rd and 11 now for Rock Island after the holding negates a big run. Streaks look to creep in from the outside, back to pass Jacobs. Look down the near side of the field, man-to-man coverage. And he overthrows, and a flag is down. He overthrew Casey Commodore, never had a chance to catch up to that one. Are we going to have pass interference on this?
If that's on
Is that Diaz? I think it was Diaz, wasn't it, man-to-man coverage? Or was it Mitchell?
Well, I mean, Miner was over the middle in coverage, and I didn't see what was going on there. But
it's pass interference. That, I just made the call.
I don't know how you call that on Diaz. That was ridiculous. I mean, he had one left arm out there and touched the guy, but, I mean, that's the kind of contact you have when two guys are pursuing a ball. That's a bad, bad call. If they're going to call that, we're going to have a long night. If you can't even breathe on the other guy, if I'm Rock Island, I'm throwing every play.
Late in the first half, Mid-County and United tied at 14. That's an important battle in the Lincoln Trail tonight. So a first down for Rock Island now at the Galesburg 18-yard line. A first down by penalty. Sounds familiar after last week, right? Out of the shotgun, Jacobs. Hands off. Wrapped up as soon as he gets the handoff and taken down between Ricketts and Velasquez again. Loss of three, we're going to call it.
Larry Pettis in there big on that one as well. He came out there fired up and gave out a shout when he sacked the guy. And it was actually, it wasn't Diaz, it was Tyree Mitchell. That previous pass interference call was on Tyree, who had a big interception here in our last home game and a return for a touchdown against United Township.
Second and 13 for the Rocks from the Galesburg 21. Jacobs dropping back. Good pass coverage. Fires it across the middle, and it's off the fingertips of his intended receiver downfield, Deshaun Davis, who had a big 13-yard catch on the opening drive. Jacobs showed a gun on that misfire down the middle of the field. And it brings up third down. First incompletion of the night. Third and 11 for the Rocks, who have completed each of their first two third down opportunities. A-Town with a 20-6 lead over Lewistown late in the half. Lewistown with that shocking win over Rushville Industry last week that sent that Prairie Land race into a bit of a mess. Third and 13 from the Galesburg 21, 3:52 to go in the first quarter of a tie ball game. Jacobs back to pass. Here comes the rush. Jacobs rolls out of it. Throws it off his back foot into the end zone, and there to knock it away is Diaz. The man was open in the end zone, I believe, was Commodore, and Diaz came over, and as soon as it went into the hands of Commodore, Diaz bumped into him and just slapped the ball out of his hands.
Yeah, perfect timing by Diaz, and it was actually just perfect timing for him to get there, because once he realized that he had to turn and come back, and that ball hung up just long enough, as soon as it got to the receiver, Diaz was there to pop him and knock that thing loose.
Cardinals go in order in the bottom of the seventh. 1-0 Redbirds going to the top of the eighth. Rock Island lining up to go for it on fourth down. Fourth and 13 from the Silver Streaks 21, tied at 7. 3:43 to go first quarter. Jacobs rolling out. Has a man downfield into the corner, and he overthrows everybody. And the Streaks take over on downs. The defense holds.
Yeah, a little surprised in that series they didn't go to Ellis, who had hurt us before, the 6'5 target.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't even in formation the previous play. That time they did bring him out, had him over the middle, and didn't look his direction and tried to go to the far side pylon, but well away. So Streaks bend, but they don't break. They get it at the 21. See if we can march it down for the go-ahead score.
See if that Silver Streaks defense can get settled in now. A lot of excitement heading into this game. All this week has been building up to tonight as the Silver Streaks try to wrap up a share of the conference title for the second straight year. Hand off to Morin up the middle, trying to squeeze through a hole and wrapped up and rolled down at about the 24-yard line for a pickup of three on first down. Both teams scored on their opening possession. This is the Silver Streaks' second possession of the game after Rock Island advances the ball from its own 36 down to the Galesburg 21 before giving it up on downs. Second and 7 for the Silver Streaks from their own 24-yard line. Now Ross drops back. The quarterback checks the play. Looks his field over. Now goes into formation. Takes the snap. Handoff up the middle. Morin drives into the pile across the 25 to the 27-yard line. Picks up three more. And it brings up third and medium distance again for the Silver Streaks. Third and 4 upcoming. Galesburg had one third down on the opening drive, which they converted. A big third and 5 on a pass play to Nick Myler. And looking for a third down conversion here to keep the drive alive and get the ball out of somewhat deep territory on the Galesburg side of the field. Looks like Ross is changing the play at the line of scrimmage. Now he brings his line set, comes up under center with Myler and Morin in the backfield, and now shifting with Jacob Carl moving to the left and Morin lining up as a wideout to the right, and a flag comes down from the back judge just as we get this one underway, and the streaks took too much time. So that'll go from 3rd and 4 to 3rd and 9 now. And do you go ahead and run the same? Do you go ahead and set up and plan to run the same play after all that?
Pretty rare to see that call in high school for the delay of game, but you see that in the NFL quite a bit. Of course, there's always so much switching going on. You don't see a whole lot of jumping around many times at the high school level, but there sure was there.
Second penalty of the game against the Silver Streaks. They had a 15-yard pass interference penalty on Rock Island's last possession that gave the Rocks a first down. Monmouth-Roseville, bit of a surprise, leading West Hancock 20-14.
That is.
2:13 to go first quarter here, tied at 7. 3rd and 9 for the Silver Streaks from their own 23.5-yard line. Ross back in shotgun. Swing pass to the outside. A one-handed grab by Morin, trying to get to the outside. Pushed upfield and dives for the first down across the 30. And the Streaks move the chains on a terrific effort by DeAndre Morin.
That really was. When Ross threw that, I didn't think it was going to get over the defender's hands because he threw it so low. And then Morin, moving to his left towards the Rock Island side of the field, had to reach one hand out and pull that in, and then skirted along the Rock Island sideline. A heck of an effort by Morin to turn that into a Streaks first down.
Only the fourth catch of the season for DeAndre Morin, his fourth reception for 90 yards, and more importantly, a first down for the Streaks at their own 32. Handoff up the middle, Myler squeezes through a hold and stutter steps across the 35 to the 37-yard line for a gain of 5.
You know, we remember the Morin 50-plus yard run, which was huge in this, but we've had two big third down conversions. The one, the catch by Myler that got us going in that last drive, and then that one by Morin on the other side of the field on a third down that kept the football in our hands and kept our defense off the field.
2nd and 6 with Ross lining up. Fakes the handoff to Morin to his right, and a pass into the flat. Underthrows Nick Myler at the 40-yard line, and Myler had to come back for that one to have any chance at it. Only the second completion of the night, and it brings up 3rd and 6 very quickly for the Silver Streaks. Stopping the clock, a minute 20 to go first quarter of a 7-7 game.
I don't think when we drew that play up we envisioned having Seamus Murphy coming off the Rock Island line unimpeded with a run right at Ross. I mean, Jacob had really no time at all, and underthrowing that one was no disgrace because he just never had a chance to ever plant that back foot and throw it.
3rd and 6. The handoff to Morin, trying to get to the outside. The pressure forces him back inside, and he gets forward to the 40-yard line, so he'll pick up 3 on 3rd down, and that'll make it 4th and 3 upcoming. And the Silver Streaks on their side of the field, 10 yards short of the 50, will send out the punt unit. So it appears, at least for the moment, that both defenses held on their second possession. Rock Island got it down to the Galesburg 21 before giving it up on downs.
Will we angle this one out of bounds?
I'm wondering. James Hayden, the freshman, in for the punt, nearly blocked, and he goes down the middle of the field, and he took a hit, and that's going to be a flag against Rock Island, and it may negate the entire run back here.
Yeah, that'll
by
give us
Deshaun
first down.
Davis. And I got to believe that's not running into the kicker. I've got to believe that's roughing the kicker.
Yeah, he got clobbered on that one.
Personal foul, roughing the kicker. In fact, I think Gary Mitchell called it before the referee did it. It looked like the referee was saying, wait for me to make the call.
Yeah.
He said, yes, that's right, but let me call it first. So with 35.9 seconds showing on the first quarter clock, the Silver Streaks are going to get it back on a Rock Island penalty. They had the rush on, and they had a couple of guys there and nearly got the block, but the momentum took them right into the freshman, James Hayden.
Yeah, Coach Brian Storitz has got to be really unhappy with that turn of events. They were coming hard. They wanted the block, but giving up that first down when their defense gets a stop, and their defense hasn't been stopping many people of late, to send them back out on the field, that's a big break for the Silver Streaks. You called that right to the official. He was having trouble getting the flag out of his pants, and so that's why it took so long to get that flag down. And by that time, Gary had called that, and the official was smiling, looking up at the box as to say, no, don't call that ahead of me.
Out of the I formation, Morin with a run right up the middle of the field. But he gets only a yard to the Rock Island 44. The 15-yard penalty takes it from the Streaks 40 to the Rock Island 45. But a pickup of just one on first down, and that may be the last play of the first quarter with the clock rolling down under 15 seconds. And the Silver Streaks don't seem to be in a big hurry to get up to the line of scrimmage. So that's going to wrap up a 7-7 tie after one quarter. Second quarter coming up, Streaks facing second and nine from the Rock Island 44 when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL brought to you by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. Office specialists providing solutions for your business. And by Dennis Twitty State Farm, helping you manage the risks of everyday life, recovery from the unexpected, and realize your dreams. Your home for Silver Streaks football, WGIL.
The Knox County Humane Society, Calvary Assembly of God, Gillsburg Heritage Days, and Knox County Teen Court all received $100 from Hometown Hundreds, courtesy of F&M Bank and Gillsburg.info. Nominate your favorite charity by visiting Gillsburg.info, keyword hundreds.
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Quarter gone here at Van Dyke Field. Silver Streaks and Rock Island locked up in a 7-7 tie. Both teams scored on their opening possessions. In St. Louis, Cardinals continue to hold a 1-0 lead over the Cubs. Two out in the top of the eighth. And a real pitching battle between Lackey and Lester, former teammates. Segrist is into the game now for St. Louis, holding on to that shutout. Was talking earlier, Jim, with Steve Davis of the Register Mail, reminded of being down at Quincy 4 years ago for that Game 5 of the NLDS with Carpenter and Holiday going against each other, mm-hmm. and how closely we were watching that one that evening.
Yeah, that was amazing, because when they got the run, we said, well, there's your run, Carpenter. Just joking, and that's what it turned out to be.
Ross with a handoff to the right side. Morin trying to get to the outside, gets the first down, and finally brought down at the Rock Island 31 for a gain of 13. So the Streaks quickly move the chains. A good run on the first play of the second quarter. Morin's biggest run of the evening. Or short of the 50-yard run that he had on the opening drive, and he's got seven carries for 75 on the night now.
Silver Streaks trying to make the Rocks pay for that running into the kicker, or actually roughing the kicker, 15-yard penalty that gave us a first down, and continuing the drive now as we continue to move it at the 31.
Second offensive possession of the night for the Silver Streaks, and the roughing the kicker penalty kept the drive alive. Silver Streaks up the middle, bouncing off a couple of defenders. And then Morin gets it down to, are they going to spot this one exactly? Looks like the 28, so he'll pick up three more on the first play of the series. Silver Streaks getting ever closer to the red zone here. Nick Myler had the touchdown run on the opening drive. But it was set up by the 50-yard run by Morin that took the Streaks deep into Rock Island territory. The snap to Ross, switches positions, left, running right. Now he's going to run for the first down, and he steps out of bounds in first down territory, running out inside the Rock Island. Are they going to say he was out before that? Sure looked to me like he got the first down, but the official is actually standing back. What, Jim, the length of the football short of the first down marker?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I thought he got more than that.
Like the play call, though.
Yep.
Misdirection got everybody going to the left. And then he just quickly pivoted and turned to the right, acted like he wanted to throw it, but I don't think that was ever his intention, and able to get over there near the sticks and bring up a second down and a yard.
Segrist takes the Cubs down in order in the eighth, going to the bottom of the eighth. Cardinals leading 1-0. Streaks turn it over to the offensive line, and the handoff to Nick Myler. Nice little hole across the left side, gets the first down inside the 20 to the 18, close to the 17-yard line. Needed about a half yard there, and they got more than enough. And the Silver Streaks are now 3-for-4 on third downs tonight as the drive continues. Under 11 minutes to go, first half, tied at 7. Ball sitting now at the Rock Island 17.
Well, Jacob Ross looking like Peyton Manning out there, not necessarily throwing the ball, but the way he's barking signals, he's running from one end of the line to the other, and very take charge right now on offense.
Fourth carry of the night for Myler for 20 yards. And up the middle. Almost a little bit of a dive play for Morin. Gets down close to the 16-yard line. Or did he even get that much? Yep, they're going to give him a yard. Streaks are inside the Rock Island 20 here. Morin with 79 yards rushing on the night of a tie game. 10-10 to go, second quarter. Rock 7, Streaks 7. Joe Anderson warming up, kicking into the net here on the near sideline. Anticipating a chance to kick for an extra point. The fake by Ross. Down into the corner, wide open. Touchdown, Silver Streaks on the pass completion to Jacob Carl. 16-yard touchdown pass. Streaks take a six-point lead.
Great play call again, well executed by the Silver Streaks, and he throws to that corner. There was only one defender there, and the defender had to choose whether he was going to be near Myler or go to Carl. Well, he hung around with Myler more towards the middle of the field. Carl wide open, a little closer to the corner of the end zone, and a perfect throw from Ross. And the Streaks take advantage of the Rock Island penalty to sustain the drive and get the lead.
So just as we were talking about Anderson warming up, here is his extra point attempt. It's good. 14-7 Silver Streaks. Just under 10 minutes to go in the first half. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen? Maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Opportunities knocking. Do you need a job? Maybe you need a new job. Galesburg Radio can help. While you're searching, don't forget to sign up for job alerts at Galesburg.info, keyword jobs. We'll tell you when new jobs are posted. Go to Galesburg.info, keyword jobs.
Hi, it's Tom Meredith. Coming up Monday morning, we'll be joined by current U.S. Senator Darren LaHood and the man who replaced him as Illinois State Senator Chuck Weaver. That'll be just after 8:10 on WGIL.
Play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks, again aided by the roughing the kicker penalty that kept the drive alive, and the Silver Streaks take it 79 yards in 5 minutes 43 seconds, and the 16-yard touchdown pass from Jacob Ross to Jacob Carl finishes it off. Anderson with a line drive kick a little bit deeper down the near sideline, and then it rolls on the sideline.
Wow.
Back in bounds, scooped up at the 10-yard line by Sudbury for Rock Island, and he dives forward across the 20. How in the world did that ball ever stay in bounds? It just took a right turn when it got to the sideline, and Sudbury ran it back 11.
Yeah, that's amazing. That thing had to get within an inch or two of the sideline. And looked for all the world because it was coming at an angle like it would go out of bounds, and somehow the point caught on the turf, and it spun the other way. So a big break. Instead of Rock Island having it at the 35, they've got it at the 22.
I think right between the 22 and the 23-yard line is where they say Sudbury's knee went down. So Jacobs, the deadly quarterback for Rock Island, hands off to Nimmers. Good hole up the middle, and it takes four Silver Streaks black jerseys to converge on him at the 35-yard line, a gain of 13, and the Rocks move the chains on the first down.
It seems like every team in this league has their feature back, and Nimmers certainly is it for Rock Island.
It's his fourth carry for only 14 yards tonight, but he is explosive, just as Morin ran for 50 on his third carry of the game. Nimmers equally could rack up big yardage in a hurry. Two wideouts to each side of the field.
Ooh,
and
he
right
got
up the middle. Ooh. And Nimmers runs into a wall of black this time. He'll pick up a couple, but he'll pay for it. Tavian Cervantes,
yep,
in on the hit.
He had the biggest share of it. Tavian really, really plugged him right there. He's a tough kid.
Nimmers picks up three. Bounces right back up. Second and seven from the Rock Island 37.5-yard line as we approach the 9-minute mark of quarter number two. 14-7 Streaks. Fake handoff. Jacobs rolling to the outside. Now under pressure and taken down at the ankles behind the line, or just about a yard past the line of scrimmage. And the diving tackle made over there by whom?
Nick Myler.
Who else, right?
Yeah, just when the quarterback thought he was going to get free and turn the corner, Myler just takes a great route to the ball. Perfect angle. And takes his legs right out from underneath him. Nick was a little slow to get up.
I noticed that.
I don't know whether maybe he, you know, his helmet hit the knee and shook him up a little or not, but he's still out there.
Third and seven, no gain. High snap to Jacobs. Handoff up the middle. Nimmers runs over his own man, but stopped short of the first down marker at the 43-yard line.
Cervantes again on the tackle there for the Streaks. It'll bring up an interesting fourth down decision for Rock Island here.
Tommy Pham with a pinch hit home run off Lester in the bottom of the eighth. And the Redbirds now lead the Cubs 2-0 with one out. The fourth and a long yard here for Rock Island. The ball sitting at the Rock's 43-yard line. They have to get the ball across the 45. And they line up to go for it in their own territory at the 40. Jacobs with a keeper, steps up the middle, gets the first down and Morin, finally drags down at the 30-yard line as Diaz and Morin chased him down. But enough of a hold there, and with a little bit of a hesitation, Jacobs squirted through it, and a big gain from the 40 to the 40.
Like the play call from Coach Stortz on the Rock Island sideline, if he gives that ball to Nimmers, I don't think they get it. Streaks nailed him after about 1 yard there. They were expecting him to carry it, and the quarterback able to get free on the right side in a bit of deception and able to pick up that first down, the nose of the ball right at the 40.
Big fourth down conversion for the Rocks. Gives him a new set of downs at the 40, and now a flag comes down from the referee, and he says false start, and that'll take it back 5 yards, first and 15 at the 45.
You know, nobody down here can figure out exactly what he saw there. The backs in the backfield both threw their hands up. Well, there was somebody on the line.
I wondered if he was calling Zach Bloomberg. He threw a 5 up into the air right away. I didn't know if that was supposed to be 5-0 for Bloomberg. Either way, first and 15 as the Streaks show blitz. Man trying to get around the outside. Jacobs throws it down the near side of the field and right into the numbers.
Wow, going to give it to him.
And was it caught? He does stay in bounds at the 11-yard line.
Yeah, I wasn't sure he got both feet in, but there doesn't seem to be any argument from the Streaks coaching staff, who had the good look at it right down the line there. So they have been able to thread some in along the sidelines here tonight. And going for a tying touchdown, Rock Island with the ball at the Galesburg 11.
Gain of 34 to Corey Freeman. 125 yards passing for Jacobs now as the handoff goes left, and Nimmers is wrapped up for no gain and maybe even a loss on first down from the Galesburg 11.
He and Dalton Ramsey getting into it a little bit there as they were trying to get Nimmers down. He wouldn't go down. Ramsey wanted to escort him to the turf, but Nimmers would have none of it, and they finally blew the whistle. Loss of one.
Back to the Galesburg 12. Seven carries, just 19 yards for Nimmers, but Alec Jacobs tonight, 5 for 8 for 125 yards, including one touchdown. Rock Island trying to tie it up. Jacobs rolling left, now cuts up the middle, crosses the 10, still on his feet, gets inside the 5-yard line before finally taken down at the 4, and it'll bring up third and maybe 2 here for the Rocks.
Yeah, Caleb Clay probably with the touchdown-saving tackle that time, wrapped up well as there was some momentum inside by the Rock Island runner. Two down territory, I would think, for the Rocks, and third down and 2.
Fifth carry for Alec Jacobs, the quarterback, for 29 yards, 28 of those 29 on the last 2 that he's running. Third and 2 for the Rocks from the Galesburg 4. Handoff Nimmers trying to cut right. Up the middle, hit, still on his feet, and now Rock Island gets in and pushes him forward from the backside, crossing the goal line. And Rock Island is within 1.
Yeah, team effort by the Rocks. You thought the Silver Streaks had him stopped, maybe shy of the first down. Well, next thing you know, he's in the end zone for a touchdown. Kept the legs driving, and
sure,
like you
did.
Said, got a little help from the teammates from behind.
So with 5:36 to go in the first half, Rock Island has crawled within 1 here at 14-13. And Bloomberg in for the extra point attempt. The snap is a good one. The hold down. The kick, plenty of distance. Looks like it's right between the uprights, and we're tied at 14. 5:36 to go, first half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
WGIL, keeping you connected to Galesburg.
Hi, this is Bob O'Connor. For Fire Prevention Month, Discovery Depot holds a special event for kids on the 17th, a Safety House Day with Galesburg Fire Department. Meet the firefighters and plan your escape route. Plenty more. More details on the calendar at WGIL.com.
This community announcement is brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL, involved and connected to Galesburg. Whether it's with eeny, meeny, miny, moe, or a vast knowledge of football stats, pick your teams now for a chance to win with this week's Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
Nine-play scoring drive for Rock Island. They cover 78 yards in 4 minutes and 15 seconds. The Nimmers' 4-yard touchdown run and the extra point ties the game up at 14 with 5:36 remaining in this first half. Cardinals have added 2 more runs in the bottom of the 8th, now leading the Cubs 4-0, still one out in St. Louis. And the kick deep taken by Myler at the 7, backing it up, now finds a hole up the middle, and wrapped up and thrown out of bounds at the 38-yard line as Rock Island's Shamar Robertson was there to stop him, and he just cut off the angle, otherwise Myler might have run that one back even a lot farther.
I think teams underestimate Nick's quick acceleration. He's able to get through an opening, and he's got great field vision, too. And we've talked about that in years past. It's not anything you can coach. You either have that or you don't. And Nick's got that combination of the speed, the tenacity, and a good field vision that all combines to make him a good football player.
Best starting position for the Silver Streaks. From their own 39, they've scored on their first 2 drives of a 14-14 game. Out of the I formation, Morin right up the middle on a dive play. And he gets maybe back to the line of scrimmage, plus one more to the 40. Silver Streaks would love to take a whole bunch of time off here at the clock as we approach the 5-minute mark and finish it off with a touchdown right before halftime.
It's interesting to look at Rock Island and not see great big guys up front, because for a number of years they were huge up front. They're not so much now. They're not tiny, but, I mean, certainly compared with the Galesburg offensive line, hopefully we can wear those guys down as the game goes along.
Rolling out on the play fake. Ross to his right. And a heck of a catch by Myler. It was underthrown. He came up with it at his ankles and advances the ball forward to the Rock Island 40-yard line before he's finally run out of bounds.
I don't know what else to say without sounding like the Nick Myler fan club. I mean, who catches that ball?
And then makes a gain of 20 out of it on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah, because it got him off stride.
He
just
was trying
to catch
stumbling forward, yeah.
And then quickly righted himself and turned it into a big gain. He's something else.
First down. Galesburg at the Rock Island 40. 4:50 to go, first half of a tie game. Handoff up the middle, not much for Morin. Gets inside the 40 to the 37. He'll pick up 3. Sterling leads Geneseo 14-0 at the half. Monmouth Roseville now leads West Hancock 28-14 at the half. And about halfway through the second quarter, Quincy, no surprise here, leading United Township 35-6. Here we're tied at 14, Streaks with a 2nd and 7 from the Rock Island 37. Under 4.5 minutes to go, second quarter. 83 yards rushing for DeAndre Morin tonight.
Streak's looking really confused. They may have to take a timeout here. I don't know.
Yeah, there's all kinds of shifting. They came out of the huddle and never really did come set. Now quickly Ross under center gets the play away and rolls out to the near side and then dumps it off to Myler. Takes a pretty good hit short of the 30-yard line. And a flag comes down right where the play was stopped. And the Silver Streaks are there to help up Nick Myler, who for the second time tonight is slow to get up. Are we going to have helmet to helmet on that one, I'm wondering?
I think so. They're encouraged on the sidelines that that will be against Rock Island.
Myler's on his feet, but he looks shaken. Personal foul, Rock Island. So I think that is going to be helmet to helmet after the gain of 5 down to the 32 on the rollout. And the 15 yards gives the Streaks terrific field position now and a great chance to get that one more score before halftime.
Nick's had a great first half, but he's gotten up slowly a couple of times, and you can sure understand that one.
That is his 4th reception of the night for 41 yards to go along with 4 runs of 20 yards total plus a touchdown. First down now from the Rock Island 17 after the 15-yard penalty. Streaks packed in tight. And now they shift from right to left. Ross under center. Hand off to Morin, bounces off a man, spins inside the 15-yard line and wrapped up at the 14. But he'll pick up three hard-earned yards, and the clock continues to roll. 3:45 to go first half in a 14-14 game. Cardinals score three in the bottom of the eighth. The inning now over, and they head to the ninth with a 4-0 lead on the Cubs, who have been held to just two hits tonight.
Wow. Well, Lackey comes up big. You know, when the Cardinals made that trade, sending Alan Craig and Joe Kelly to Boston, I thought, well, that's a pretty steep price, especially with Joe Kelly. But they got him for exactly these type of situations. He pitches a lot of innings and can pitch big in the postseason, and he's done it tonight.
And, of course, he's doing it for the league minimum, too. A lot of talk in St. Louis about what a bargain they're getting with Lackey, who's a free agent at the end of the season. Double fake handoff by Morin, rolling right on the screen pass, and it's complete to Myler, who's wrapped up immediately at the 20, at the 11-yard line, rather. But he still picks up four more, and it'll be third and five. Didn't waste any time bringing him down that time, did they?
No, and it brings up interesting play call here on third and five. Do you run it a couple of times, figuring, well, we get two and three, we get the first down, or do we put it in the air again? That's been our friend, those short passes from Ross. He's been very active moving around outside the pocket.
Silver Streaks 3-for-4 on third downs tonight. Under 2.5 minutes to go first half. Shotgun, swing pass to the near side, and they clear out for Morin to the 10. Wrapped up from behind inside the 5 and taken out of bounds right at the 3-yard line. First and goal, Silver Streaks.
And the Silver Streaks put 4 wide to the near side. And Rock Island bid on that because 3 of them went straight up the field. Everybody went with those guys, left Morin out here for just a true screen pass, and he had nobody near him for the first 10 yards there. It was a well-designed play, good call, and a Streaks first down.
Eighth play of the drive upcoming started back at the Galesburg 39-yard line. 2:19 is where the first half clock sits here late in the second quarter. Ross under center, steps back. Hands off up the middle and knew where to go for Myler this time.
No, he got hit by 3 or 4 rocks. David Barber, probably the lead tackler there. Little guy at 5'8", stature-wise, but he goes, I don't know. It says 233 here. I'm not sure he's 233, but he's stout. Just ask Nick Myler. He got all he wanted of Barber that time.
Quincy having its way with UT, 42-6 Blue Devils. 3:45 to go first half. Here it's tied at 14. Second and goal from the Streaks from the 3. Ross flips it away behind him to Morin as he got tripped up to the 5. And it's a touchdown. What a play. What a heads-up play by Ross. And what an effort by Morin not only to catch it, but to score on it.
Well, we have seen some great individual efforts down here in this first half. Just some really incredible plays. And we've done it all without turning the ball over.
A 3-yard touchdown run by DeAndre Morin after Jacob Ross got tripped up, stepping back from out, taking the snap, and falling down, he flips it behind him to Morin, 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he runs it in for the 3-yard touchdown, and the Anderson extra point puts the Streaks up 21-14 with a minute 37 to go in the first half.
That was an Aaron Rodgers type of play. One of those guys that you never know, he's falling down, he's going to throw the ball backwards, forwards, some way, make a play happen. And I had just been so impressed with Jacob Ross in this first half.
Well, you were talking, I heard you and Tom Meredith talking on the air this morning, and his comment was exactly right. We have seen Ross grow and mature and become just a terrific high school quarterback as a junior leading the Silver Streaks team as they try to wrap up their second straight, at least a share of their second straight conference championship.
Well, and he's doing it, too, with I think, a lot of savvy, because some guys will play that position and just do it with raw athleticism. But I think Ross is being asked to do a lot. I mean, we've seen how many formations we've had and how many changes we're doing out there at the line of scrimmage, and that takes a guy that's really thinking on his feet, paying attention all the time to what the coaches want, directing his teammates. He's doing the whole package out there, and I never thought I'd see Jacob become as good as he has this season.
aided by a 15-yard personal foul penalty. The Streaks take it 9 plays in 61 yards, and with a minute 37, the kickoff by Rock Island taken at the 14-yard line. Nimmers up the middle, still on his feet as he backs into a tackle, cops out of it up the far side of the field, and finally run out of bounds on the far side as the Silver Streaks' Marcus Goodlow chases him down. But the Rocks are going to have the ball in Galesburg territory with a short field and still a minute 27 to go before halftime and all of their timeouts remaining.
Well, that's not what you wanted, obviously, for Galesburg. You wanted to see Rock Island have to go quite a ways, and they would have, except Kyle Martin, he had a clean shot on Nimmers, and Kyle gave it everything he had, but he lunged straight forward. Nimmers just jumped in the air and turned his body sideways. Martin, all he could do was grab air, and then Nimmers was off and running.
Back to pass on first down. Now Jacobs flushed out of the pocket, rolling left, and he just fires it into the ground for the incompletion, essentially spiking the ball just to get rid of it. He had three black jerseys who were hot on his heels, and he just throws it down to stop the clock and avoid the sack.
Yeah, good pressure by the line all the way around, but Jason Kelly led the charge. It was a blitz from the left side. We've seen Kelly do that a number of times this year, times that well. He came in, and it took two men to go over there and stop him from getting to the quarterback directly. And while they were occupied with Kelly, the rest of the line blew through and blew that play up.
Rosenthal is in for the Redbirds as the pass goes to the near side and dropped. Had a man open, but thrown a little behind Deshaun Davis. Back-to-back incompletions for Rock Island very quickly. Third and 10 from the Galesburg 47. Rosenthal with a walk with one out for the Cubs, who trail the Cardinals 4-0 as the Redbirds try to wrap up game one of the division series. Third and 10 for the Rocks here from the Galesburg 47-yard line. 21-14 Streaks, a minute 17 to go, second quarter. The snap to Jacobs, three-step drop. Now flushed out of the pocket, and he can't escape the sack this time.
Ricketts.
Back in Galesburg territory at the 46.
Ricketts and Velasquez each side. That was a thing of beauty. Yeah. Yeah, that was something you'd see in the NFL, that type of sack where they just swarmed him from both sides.
And now the officials talking. We have a timeout call. Nope, Rock Island's going to send out the punt unit with the ball sitting back at the Galesburg 47. The Streaks defense came to play there.
Yeah. What a big
stop. Flushing out Jacobs on the first down rollout. Had the drop on the second down and then the big sack on third down and a loss of 6. And for the Silver Streaks, it's Myler standing back at his own 19. Rock Island's going to run as much time down here as possible with the clock rolling to 23. And now a timeout called by the Rocks before they get the delay of game penalty.
Well, this has been a nice turn of events because from the time that Nimmers was able to scoot out there and get a big return, they weren't able to do anything with it as the Streaks, with great pass rush twice, sent them back and forcing Rock Island to punt here and negating any chance the Rocks might have to tie this game up before halftime unless they go with a fake punt. And I don't think on 4th and 17, already down a touchdown, you're going to see Brian Storch reach into that bag of tricks.
In St. Louis, Kyle Schwarber bats as the last chance for the Cubs. He has one of the two Chicago hits tonight and a walk. So he's been on base twice. Two walks, two hits for the Cubs is all they've had, and Schwarber has one of each of them. And he bats with the Cardinals leading 4-0, two outs in the top of the ninth, and a runner at first for Chicago. 21.5 seconds to go here. Rock Island using a timeout to stop the clock and set up the punt. Coming up at halftime, Jim, we're going to talk with Damon Tomeo, correct?
Yes, Knox football coach. We'll talk about the recruiting aspect, what he does and his staff does on Friday nights.
And now Galesburg calls timeout. Go ahead.
Yeah, not only, you know, are they getting ready to play a football game on Saturday, they'll be at Lake Forest tomorrow, but in the middle of their heaviest coaching season, it's also recruiting season. I guess it's always recruiting season. Especially now, trying to talk to players and get them on board for years ahead. And so it's very interesting. Of course, Damon could talk about painting a wall and make it interesting, but you get him talking about football and recruiting, and he's got a lot to tell us, and we'll look forward to hearing from Coach Tomeo at Knox College during our halftime report here in just a little bit.
Kyle Schwarber keeps the hopes alive, a two-out hit. So he has two of the three Cubs hits. It's first and third, two out, 4-0 St. Louis. That was going through the plays. The Cardinals got those three runs in the bottom of the eighth. We mentioned the fam pinch hit home run. Steven Piscotty hit a two-run homer for the other two runs. All right, Rock Island back to go for it on fourth down. And then a pooch kick straight up into the air. And Rock Island doesn't know where it is. And then fortunately for the Rocks, when it hits the ground, it shoots 10 yards deeper into Galesburg territory. And the Rocks down it to the 26 with 12 and a half seconds to go. So what could have been really a potential big problem for the Rocks there if they get awful field position, if they give up awful field position, even with 12 and a half seconds to go. But then when the ball shoots deep like that, I think the Silver Streaks are now encouraged to just go ahead and probably, most likely, either run a very safe play or just take a knee to protect that 7-point lead heading to the locker room.
And the way we're stacked in, I think it's a knee right
here. Sure looks like it. So Ross comes up under center, snaps, takes a few steps back, and a very quiet knee taken down back at the 23-yard line. And the teams head to the locker room. Silver Streaks on top, 21-14. And applause from the home crowd here on Pink Out Night, Stack the Stands Night. And a good first half for the Silver Streaks, an entertaining first half. And the Streaks lead at 21-14 heading to the locker room. Again, we'll talk with Damon Tomeo of Knox College when we come back at the half. And when we come back out to Van Dyke Field, we'll update you on first half statistics, high school scores from around the area. And we'll talk with Streaks head coach Tim Doherty when the team reemerges from the locker room. 21-14 Galesburg over Rock Island at the half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Have you ever compared football to your auto insurance? One fumble can cost you the game. And with auto insurance, not having the right amount of coverage is a weak offensive line. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance in Galesburg. We'll make sure you have deductibles you're comfortable with, so no matter what play is made, you'll avoid the tackle. And our money-saving auto home discount is an automatic first down. Stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street and find out why Craddy and Rockford Mutual Insurance are the game-winning touchdown.
Let's just say she's luring in almost 100,000 online admirers who are falling for her hook, line, and sinker because she is a fisherwoman. That's right. And she says, people are shocked when they see me stand in my bikini holding a 6-foot tuna. But online, let me tell you, she has her fans angling for a view. Get it? Yes.
Kim Komando, Sunday mornings 9 till noon on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast, mostly clear skies with a low of 43 tonight, sunshine with a high of 69 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, clear skies, a low of 49. Sunday, sunny and warmer with a high of 80. Sunday night, mostly clear, a low down around 60. And Columbus Day, sunshine and breezy with a high of 74. Monday night, mostly clear skies, overnight low down around 47. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 53 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS Halftime Report on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Halftime of Silver Streaks football, and time to turn our attention to, well, that convergence of college and high school football as Damon Tomeo, the head coach of the Knox Prairie Fire, joins us now to talk about, the ascension from high school into college football. Damon, thanks for joining us here at halftime, and I know that this time of year is not only busy for you on the sidelines, but also in watching for future players.
Really overlaps right into the recruiting season, which is what we college coaches call our second season and arguably our more important season.
Yeah, now this time of year you go out on a Friday night and watch a high school game before you coach your game on Saturday. How do you decide where you're going on a given Friday night?
You know, our staff will sit around in the office early in the week and make sure that we've seen all the local players that have an interest in our school or the, you know, academics that which we're looking for. An hour and a half drive is something we can do on a Friday night up and back. Much beyond that's going to be tough for our Saturday games. So we just kind of make sure we hit every one of the local teams. And all the local regional guys that we're recruiting. And then I personally try and hit all the local schools, even if we're not recruiting them, because I like to see those guys in action and see the coaches in the area.
All right. Yeah. For instance, you know, you went saw Anawan Weathersfield last week, and are there players you're in particular looking for when you go, or do you just kind of go with an open mind and take in whatever you see?
We spend a lot of our spring term. You know, recruiting starts winding down February, March for that class, and so we kind of crank up the next year's class right at the same time. So it keeps overlapping for us. So February, March, April, we're trying to get out in contact with all the local schools and college, high school coaches and see who they have for the next year. So they're juniors. Who are their players? Who are the guys with the grades that we're looking for? So we have a pretty good list. And then we'll spend some time, into May trying to contact those guys once or twice just to see where their mind's at, interest. Some want to leave the area. Some want to stay close. Some don't want to play in college. Some really, really do. Some right now are entertaining an offer from Illinois or Western, and, they're going to be out of our ability to recruit. So we try and narrow our list down so that as we get into the summer, we can see kids at camps that we know who they are, we've had some contact with, and then as we go in the fall, the list just gets cleaner and more clarified.
You mentioned grades. That's important for any college, but especially Knox, because you've got to probably be a little higher in your class to be able to get into Knox.
Absolutely. Where our academic standard is quite high, but there's a reason why, with the results that we're showing and the jobs that our guys are getting into, that you got to be prepared for a school like Knox. But with that preparation and choosing Knox, you're going to have an opportunity that is going to go beyond those that have kind of just taken the easy path in high school. But, it's neat to see is the challenges that our guys face every day with balancing academics and athletics and the success they have doing it. Mm-hmm. There's a student that contacted me just yesterday, really interested in Knox, wants to stay in the area, wants to play, likes what's going on at Knox. But, a 2.5 GPA, barely passing the ACT is just not enough to get admission at Knox College. So it's definitely a challenge. It's going to narrow our recruiting pool. But I don't know of a college coach that doesn't first try and figure out where their grades are at for that student athlete.
In a Division III, a small college, you probably don't have maybe the minions to go out and do a lot of this that maybe a bigger school does. So you're hands-on from the top down. Huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm very much involved in this, and the messages that the high school coaches are getting are directly from me. So I have build that relationship, and I have those. And they understand what we're looking for, in the region when we're trying to find the guys with the grades that have the ability, we think, to compete and help us win at Knox, and would be good fits on our campus.
We're talking with Knox College football coach David Tomeo here at halftime of Silver Streaks football about what he's looking for and getting his team prepared every year and getting new recruits in to play at Knox. And I'm sure that it had to be difficult for any coach when you move in from a different part of the country to assimilate yourself to that area, to the high schools, to the people you need to know. How's that gone for you for 3 years now?
Well, it's been the local and regional coaches are so receptive to us. They've been great to work with and are so helpful in just every request that we have in trying to get their student athletes to college. And it's not always an exact fit. We found out that, some guys don't want to be here and they want to go to Monmouth or Augie, and I'm happy that they found a college to go to. But the support of the high school coaches goes a long, long way. We've seen the recruiting calendar get pressed forward so much, and it started at the highest levels. Michigan, Ohio State, they're done with recruiting as they're getting into the summer. And that diamond in the rough, we didn't find you till February recruit, that doesn't exist anymore with the internet and social media. So even in the Division III level, our calendar's moved up as well. So there's a lot of students out there that are kind of waiting for something that realistically at this point is not going to happen. And, the students that are seniors, October, your senior year, you need to find the best school that you fit, that opportunity to play, that's going to help you be successful in your life. And you can't expect at this point that Illinois is going to come calling and say, hey, here's a full scholarship.
Well, and a choice of a college for many, there are many facets involved in it. It's not just who wants me to play football or where I might want to go, but it's the whole fit. And I suppose the personal attention a little more than they might get at a major university comes into play.
Yeah, sure. We talk about that academic fit. Are you looking for a small school or big school? And obviously how far that school is away from your home is a little different. The athletic fit, opportunity to compete, when that'll be, size of the roster. If you're a quarterback and they have eight quarterbacks, realistically, when are you going to have a chance? I always laugh when the quarterback says, well, he says I could start as a freshman. It's like, well, anybody could start as a freshman, but, there's 12 other quarterbacks on their roster. So, you got to do the math on that a little bit. And, if you have 12 plays of 7-on-7 and there's 12 quarterbacks, a lot of guys aren't taking snaps. So, again, you have to figure that out. And what kind of experience athletically do you want, knowing that really 4 years from now that experience is going to end and you're trying to set yourself up for life? Social fit is huge. How do you fit into the college campus? The feel, we hear about that all the time. Does it feel right? And you won't know that until you get on the campus. And what's this college education going to give me? You know, again, 4 years from now when I graduate with that diploma, besides student loans, which are becoming such a hot topic nowadays, you know, we want to see small student loans and we want to see a great job opportunity. And I think Knox College does a good job of that. And a lot of families are asking now, what's it costing? With the change of the economy, dollars are tighter and people want to know, you know, is it really worth it? And what's this going to cost me? And again, I think Knox does a good job of putting together a great financial aid package and giving students an opportunity, not just athletes, all students, an opportunity to go to a great school. And I think those are some challenges that without investing the time, families, you're going to really struggle as you get into February, March because you're behind the curve.
Do you find some players who've had a nice career in high school move up into college at the D3 ranks and go, wow, I didn't realize it was going to be this hard or the guys were going to hit this hard?
Absolutely. And that's our first team meeting we have with the rookies. I got this nice little fun slide of five things that they need to concentrate on, like time management skills and, you know, sacrifice and your academics are first and, you know, athletics and understanding that the social life's got to be limited. But one of them is this is not high school anymore. You are no longer that big fish in a smaller pond. And now you're dealing with 22-year-old men, you know, that shave, and it can be scary. So it's a little different for them as they experience that, and that transition can be very hard on them. I try and relate it to when you were a freshman in high school, how many of you played varsity? And usually no one has. And that's really the situation they're in, and they have to have a great mental approach to that and be ready for the challenges that it's presented.
Yeah, because especially for guys, the body changes a lot between 18 and 22. A lot more capacity when you send them into the weight room when they're in their low 20s, isn't there?
I love our first meeting with the parents in the fall when they come in and drop their kids off. There's a lot of Kleenex, and I do remind the parents, when we give them back to you, they're probably going to be 5 to 10 pounds heavier, and that's just from August to Christmas. So the body changes a lot. The maturity changes a lot, and their confidence really grows as they're out on their own, you know, doing their own laundry and kind of fending for themselves. Mom's not there to pick up after them and feed them a meal. So it's neat to see that development, though, in the guys. And that's why I really enjoy the college game.
And finally, we're watching the Galesburg Silver Streaks here tonight. And we've had a number of Silver Streaks make the trip across town to be students and football players at Knox. And I know you welcome that whenever that can work out.
Absolutely. We have five on our roster right now. Sophomore Mike Moss. And then we have four rookies. Tyler Podvoisky's playing inside linebacker for us may challenge me on this one to get all the guys' names in Talon. Mick Williams is playing tight end for us. You know, Christian Powers is playing inside linebacker for us. And Jake Ferguson is playing safety. Mike's been playing safety for us as well. So we got five streaks playing for us. Mike's really in the rotation, playing quite a bit. And the other four guys are seeing some snaps. And it's been a great bridge for those guys to have an opportunity to stay close to home and have their family see them play and get a great education. And we look to continue to do that. Galesburg's got some really good guys this year that we would love to have on our campus and things that could help us. So can't mention names. That's an NCAA violation, but you know who you are because I've talked to all of you this week. But we decided to have you guys at Knox, and it'd be tremendous to keep you at home.
Yeah, and we've got a pretty good idea in watching the Streaks out there performing again this year, and especially with the success that they're having. And I know that you're probably in touch with Coach Tim Doherty and appreciate the job that he's doing there at GHS.
Absolutely. It's a tough job at the high school because you are dealing with now, you know, 14, 15, 18-year-olds. It's a different challenge than 18 to 20 year olds, but still a challenge all the less. And to take a team and mold it very, very quickly, as Coach Doherty has been tremendous to see. And congratulations to him and best of luck to them this second half.
All right. Very good. Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time. We'll find out how the Cubs and Cardinals are getting along and back with the second half of Silver Streaks football in just a little bit. Coach, take care.
Thank you.
All right. That is Coach Damon Tomeo of Knox. By the way, they are playing tomorrow at Lake Forest, a road game in the Midwest Conference. We'll be back with more from GHS and Van Dyke Field after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Stay connected to what's happening in Galesburg. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
A local haunted house will begin scaring tonight, but they'll be doing it in the name of charity. Shadows Realm will run their Scare Factory at 2015 Windish Drive this year, part of which runs through an old morgue at the Hawthorne Center. All proceeds from the four-weekend stint will be donated to the Gilson Boy Scout Troop and various other charities. Organizer Sam Burdick says that the house is made entirely possible by volunteers. Scares will take place every Friday and Saturday night through October 31st. In state news, a Chicago anti-violence program is another casualty of the Illinois budget impasse. Millions of dollars have been halted for a program that deploys former gang members and felons to intervene in feuds so they don't end in shootings. In other news, thousands of Chicago Park District employees are going to court to challenge a pension reform law Pat Quinn signed last year when he was governor. I'm Antoine R. Martin. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Joe Chiro. Protesters greeted President Obama in Roseburg, Oregon, where he traveled to speak with the families of victims from last week's college massacre.
Over 200 people protested Obama's visit. Most, if not all, were gun owners who were upset with his call for more gun control within hours of the deadly shooting. They feel he politicized the tragedy.
Fox's Dan Springer, 9 people were killed in last week's shooting. The Obama administration changing its approach to fight ISIS in Syria. It's abandoning its failed effort to build a rebel ground force and instead will work with already established rebel groups.
Today's announcement represents an ongoing process where we aim to learn from what works in our strategy and aim to make corrections where we see things that are not working.
Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes. The White House is still not considering enforcing a no-fly zone over Syria. Fox News, we report, you decide.
One call does it all, and that call is to us, Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Hi, I'm Neil Thomas. You already call us when your drains clog, your air conditioning quits, or your furnace goes out, but how about a bathroom remodel? With just one call to us, we take care of the entire project so you don't have to work with 4 or 5 contractors. Leave the worries of coordinating all the different trades required to complete your project to us. It's that simple. So give us a call today for a free estimate at Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating.
Silver Streaks Football and WGIL is brought to you by Two Painted Ladies, offering upcycled furniture and unique handcrafted gifts. By Animal Medical Center, providing the finest veterinary care possible. And by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen? Maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Congratulations to Kimberly Fry of Galesburg, winner of a pair of tickets to see Game 2 of the National League Division Series with the Cubs and Cardinals tomorrow. Congratulations, Kimberly, from Buffalo Wild Wings and WGIL.
Kimberly will see those Cardinals after a 4-0 win over the Cubs today to take that 1-0 National League Division Series lead in St. Louis earlier today. Here at Van Dyke Field, it's 21-14 Silver Streaks at the half over Rock Island. A well-played first half, relatively clean. The penalties against Rock Island were more damaging to the Rocks than the Streaks penalties. And the Rocks had more penalty yardage as well. Their biggest penalty was a roughing the kicker penalty. It's really the only time they've stopped Galesburg defensively tonight, but it kept a Galesburg drive alive that ended up in a touchdown. The Silver Streaks, consequently, have scored on all three of their, well, their substantial offensive possessions. Their only possession they didn't score was when they got the ball back with 12 seconds to go in the first half, and Jacob Ross just took a knee. Other than that, they've scored on all three of their possessions. They are winning the time of possession battle with just over 13 minutes that the Streaks have had the ball in the first half. And despite all that, it's almost an even game in terms of offense. Rock Island has 161 yards, 46 on the ground. The Silver Streaks have 183 yards. And really, Jim Lee, if you take away that long DeAndre Morin run back in the first quarter that set up the Streaks' first score, Rock Island has more offense here tonight. But the Silver Streaks lead where it counts, and I know Tim Doherty has said frequently it's the only statistic he cares about, leading 21-14 at the half.
Well, and a lot of Rock Island's offense has come on some long pass plays that really I thought was just a credit to their receivers.
Yep, especially on that opening drive.
Yeah, Ellis with the two catches especially there, and then the long pass play going the other direction here along that sideline. They've made some tough catches in traffic in narrow spaces, and it's great for them to see. I'm not sure they can keep that up. So I still like where we're at. If we did this again the second half, I'd take a 42-28 win. And here comes Coach. Here comes Coach Tim Doherty. In fact, I'll just keep it right here.
Okay, go right ahead.
Shoot a question at the head coach while we've got it. Coach, you knew it would be a tough one, but 3 possessions and 3 touchdowns, you can't do better than that.
Exactly. I think, you know, they just have so many explosive players on their offense that we've just got to settle down. And you know, we're right there. We just got to make plays. But I think the big thing in the second half is we just have to run some clock and maximize our possessions, and we'll be fine. I think that's the key.
You got Jacob Ross looking like Peyton Manning out there, barking signals and changing plays.
He's doing a good job. He's played with better command here in the last 3-4 weeks. So, you know, he's growing up.
All right, talk to you afterwards.
You bet. Thank you.
As always, our thanks to Tim Doherty, giving us a few minutes at least, or a few seconds, as the case may be. Kind of important, obviously, spend a little more of that time with his players, especially under the circumstances. Galesburg will get the ball to start off the third quarter again with a 21-14 lead. We got here with both teams scoring on their opening possessions. Rock Island had a 5-play scoring drive that took just a minute and 40 off the clock. 3 pass plays really helped set it up of 37, 13, and 10 yards, the final 10 going to Ellis, as Jim mentioned, for the touchdown. Silver Streaks came back, put together an 8-play scoring drive that covered 82 yards in just over 3.5 minutes. Nick Myler ran in the final 7 yards, and we were tied at 7. Rock Island took the ball down to the Galesburg 21 on the next possession, but ended up giving it up on downs. Galesburg came back, and the scoring drive that was aided by the roughing the kicker penalty, as we were discussing just a moment ago, ended up leading to a 14-play scoring drive that covered 79 yards in 5 minutes 43 seconds. 16-yard touchdown pass from Jacob Ross to Jacob Carl ended up finishing off that drive. Rock Island came back with a 9-play scoring drive that covered 78 yards. Trey Nimmers ran in the final 4, and we were tied at 14. Then the Silver Streaks scored on their third possession of the game, a 9-play scoring drive that covered 61 yards. It was a 15-yard personal foul penalty on Rock Island that moved Galesburg deeper into Rock's territory, and DeAndre Morin ran in the final 3 yards. It was 21-14. Silver Streaks anticipating an onside kick, and there it is, and the Streaks saw it coming. We saw the coaches barking out at the players, calling for them to scoot up, scoot up, scoot up, and then I think after Rock Island finally kicked it away, I think they might have been offsides.
Yeah, that had to be it because he grabbed it out of the air and then just stopped. The whistles had blown.
The kicker, Zach Bloomberg, moved up to the ball and then moved away. But then one of the other men came in and ended up kicking it.
It was a very good kick, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it was going to work, even despite the officials realizing that it was going, or the, not the officials, the coaches realizing that it was going to happen and then calling out, trying to get the players' attention to scoot up, scoot up, scoot up. So now a flag is down way over on the far side of the field, a sideline warning on Rock Island.
Rock Island coach Brian Stortz over there pleading his case. He's very unhappy about that.
And they're going to march it back. Well, there's the 5 yards back.
And that really hurts them, too, because the part of the success of that is the element of surprise. And like you said, Brad, it didn't shock the Streaks that happened. But still, especially when you see one guy fake like he's going to kick it, another guy come over and do it, it ruins your concentration a little. And it was a beautiful kick.
It was really well executed, yeah.
I mean, if there's no flag there, they've got the ball. And I'm sure that's what makes it even more painful to Coach Stortz for Rock Island. So they'll do it again. This is taking a long time to regroup and get this thing kicked again.
So the flag on Coach Brian Stortz is not a yardage penalty. The 5 yards back is for the offsides. So the ball now sitting at the 35, and Rock Island will line up. And surely they wouldn't try that again, deeper in their own territory. 21-14, as we're still waiting to really get this second half started here at Van Dyke Field.
Somebody in the Galesburg stands behind me yelling, could we please kick the ball?
Brian Storrs was back out on the field again trying to plead with the officials and get their attention about something. And now Rock Island looking to be in a more traditional kickoff formation here to start the second half. And approaching the ball, Bloomberg kicks it deep, high in the air. Morin running left, fielding it at the 12 to the 20-yard line, upfield to the 25, avoids a tackle at the 30, and then tripped up and taken down by Michael Sudbury, who made an impressive tackle on special teams in the first half. And Morin does return the ball to the Galesburg 37 for pretty decent field position. Wind's like Island Alleman has scored. It's 14-7 Moline. Go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to say the wind's still a non-factor. That flag is as limp now as it was when we started this game.
In fact, it is at halftime now. Moline with that touchdown lead. Galesburg with the ball starting the second half here. Have scored on each of its first three possessions in the first half. And with a one touchdown lead, the handoff on the first play of the third quarter goes to Nick Myler on a simple dive play up the middle. Takes it close to the 40 for a gain of three. Myler in the first half, five carries for 20 yards and a 7-yard touchdown run. DeAndre Moore on 13 carries for 88 yards and a 3-yard touchdown run. Jacob Ross, 8 of 10 passing for 79 yards, including a touchdown to Jacob Carl of 16 yards. Myler had five catches for 45, and Morin had two receptions for 18. Second and seven, out of the snap. Morin, swing pass to the outside. Myler cuts back toward the middle, gets the first down, diving forward to the 50-yard line. He just kept sidestepping tackles, and the Streaks have moved it into Rock Island territory on the second play of the half.
One of those nights where everybody else in the conference rooting for Rock Island, because that would give Quincy, Moline especially, a shot at maybe getting into a tie for the conference title anyway.
Quincy the most desperate of the two teams with two losses already in the conference. First down from the 50. Hand off to Myler, rolling left on the sweep. Now stops, tries to cut back toward the middle, and he has wrapped up, and it's everything he can do just to dive back forward. Devon Barber in pursuit made the initial stop, and Myler will lose one back into Galesburg territory at the 49.
Isn't very often Myler gets hit for a loss, but not much he could do there against three Rock Island players led by Zach Blumberg on the tackle for the Rocks. Ball just shy of midfield at the 49.
Played a minute and a half here in the second quarter, in the second half already, third quarter. At this point in the first quarter, Rock Island, on its opening drive of the first half, had already scored. Silver Streaks would like to start the third quarter with a score to get him up two touchdowns. Handoff up the middle, DeAndre Morin, and hit by a linebacker, spinning off him, and dives forward inside the 45 to the 43. Tackle finally made by Shamar Robertson, and that looked like it was going to end up being a big gain, and it was a heck of a job by Morin after the hit to make even more out of it than he did.
Robertson having to tackle from the other direction, though, as he actually drove Morin ahead a couple of yards with the hard tackle and brings up a third and three for the Silver Streaks.
Gain of eight for DeAndre Morin. Again, he had a 50-yard run in the first half that set up the Streaks' first touchdown of the night. Galesburg 4 of 5 on third downs tonight. Fake handoff by Ross on the play action. Rolling right and rolling very deep. Now finally throws it away off his back foot, out of bounds on the far side of the field. And a rare third down non-conversion for the Silver Streaks and a decision for Galesburg with the ball sitting at the Rock Island 44. And it looks like they will send out James Hayden on the punt.
Yeah, and on third and three, ideally you don't want your quarterback fading back like that. We really didn't have anybody underneath. If you had somebody you could drop it off to, you're talking 3 yards. But as Ross kept moving back, then that first down became less and less likely, and his receivers were too far downfield.
Downfield, Christian Sebulva down. They go for the fake, and it's complete to Myler down to the 20. And wrapped up from behind, thrown down for a first and goal down to the Rock Island 7-yard line. I had an inkling, Jim. I just had an inkling they were not going to give up the ball that easily. And they execute the fake perfectly, and Myler takes it all the way down on a huge fourth down conversion, advancing at 36 yards to the 7.
Yeah, and again, Myler's so quick from when he gets the ball. Rock Island, they were a little asleep, but, you know, some teams can adjust, but Myler was just so quick through there, they had no chance. He was right up the middle. Nobody touched him for quite a while. And, you know, Coach Mike Washabaugh told us on the scouting report, there's some things we haven't shown yet on tape. That was one of them.
First and goal from the Rock Island 7. Ross drops back, hands off to Morin, trying to bounce to the outside of the 5, going for the corner of the pylon, and he's out at the 1 foot line, practically.
About the 1 inch line.
It's if that, even, yeah. Wow.
Well, and, you know, I'm right here by it, and I think he probably made the right call. That knee got dragged down just shy of the goal line. So, barring a turnover here, three chances to get it this far. Ross will just go straight ahead.
Yep, Streaks pack it in tight, and Ross bounces off the offensive line to the left, dives in for the touchdown, and the Streaks lead by 13 on an eight-play scoring drive to start the third quarter.
Well, that was big to get that two-touchdown lead here. It kind of forces Rock Island into a bit of a desperate situation, although the way they like to throw the ball, maybe that's when they become the most dangerous.
And again, the big fourth down conversion as the Streaks lined up to punt, faked it. Myler with a big run to set up the touchdown. And now Joe Anderson in for the extra point. Low snap. Hawkins squares it away, though.
Nice.
And did he get it in? He did get it inside the right upright.
Great job by Hawkins to get that thing on the ground.
Extra point makes it 28-14 Streaks. 9:04 to play here in the third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
One call does it all, and that call is to us, Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Hi, I'm Neil Thomas. You already call us when your drains clog, your air conditioning quits, or your furnace goes out, but how about a bathroom remodel? With just one call to us, we take care of the entire project, so you don't have to work with four or five contractors. Leave the worries of coordinating all the different trades required to complete your project to us. It's that simple, so give us a call today for a free estimate at Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating.
Silver Streak Football and WGIL brought to you by attorney Tricia Blake at Blake Law Office in downtown Galesburg. Caring Hands Animal Clinic. Caring Hands, Caring Hearts next to Bart Optical on Henderson Street. And by Templeton Roofing, best in roofs. Galesburg's commercial and residential roofing contractor since 1930.
The Knox County Humane Society, Calvary Assembly of God, Galesburg Heritage Days, and Knox County Teen Court all received $100 from Hometown Hundreds, courtesy of F&M Bank and Galesburg.info. Nominate your favorite charity by visiting Galesburg.info, keyword hundreds.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Streaks with a 28-14 lead, 9:04 to go, third quarter. Joe Anderson has the ball teed up at the 40-yard line. Stutter steps forward and kicks a line drive down the middle of the field, and then bouncing inside the 15 and then taking a shot left out of bounds at the Rock Island 9. So they'll have it at the 35-yard line. Following an eight-play scoring drive by the Silver Streaks that covers 63 yards, Galesburg takes just 2 minutes and 56 seconds off the clock to open the second half and now lead at 28-14.
Now that ball, that kick from Joe, was actually a lot more in the field of play than the previous one that hugged the sideline and stayed in. Well, that
thinking
one took,
the same thing.
Yeah, that one took a bounce and looked like it was going downhill out of bounds. And so looks like they're going to make us re-kick that one.
Trying to check some scores throughout the area. Twitter's been very active, and it's hard to keep up tonight. I looked down, and all of a sudden I got 53 new tweets. It's like I'm not going through all those just to find a few scores listed in there.
Welcome to Friday night.
So the Silver Streaks will be forced to re-kick here, backing it up 5 yards on the penalty. Michael Sudbury deep along with Jacob Talk. And the kick by Anderson is end-over-end on the field, bouncing off a man's hands, and Devon Barber recovers at the 35-yard line, and the big guy rumbles forward across the 40. And they'll end up with a little deeper field position instead of having it at the 35 after that short kick. They'll take it at the 43-yard line of their own side of the field with 8:57 to go in the third quarter. First offensive possession of the second half for the Rocks.
Well, I would look for them, as they came out doing, throw the ball, but you don't want to waste Nimmers in the backfield. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a weapon he is.
Although the Streaks have held him to 23 yards on 8 carries tonight, he does have a 4-yard touchdown run.
Here he comes.
Jacobs goes to him on the sweep right. Pursuit on the way. The Streaks stretch him out all the way to the sideline, and Galesburg runs him out of bounds at the 47-yard line. He ran a long way to pick up 5 on first down.
Yeah, Caleb Clay over there to seal off the sideline, force him out of bounds. They're going to give him 6 on the play.
Take him out of bounds at the 48. Second longest run of the night for Trey Nimmers. He had a 13-yard run earlier. This one goes for 6. Jacobs, the quarterback, rolling left. Looks like he wants to tuck it in and keep it. He's stretched all the way out to the left, now cuts up field, and the Streaks' pursuit stays true, stops him at the 49-yard line for a short gain. It'll bring up third down for the Rocks, who are 2 of 5 on the evening on third downs, but 0 for their last 3, and this will be 3rd and 3.
You know, the longer you go to that side of the field and you don't commit, either turn up or take the corner, the more the defense has a chance to flow and adjust, and the Streaks did a great job that time getting the ball.
Streaks have held quarterback Alec Jacobs to 24 yards on 7 carries, and here is a sack right at the line of scrimmage. Absolutely nowhere to go as they actually handed it off to Nimmers, who got stopped right at the line of scrimmage and stuffed backwards. They're actually going to give him forward progress just across midfield inside Galesburg territory. So that'll be enough to line them up to go for it on fourth down from midfield, needing a yard. The snap to Jacob. He keeps it on the roll out to the right. Has the first down at the 45 and runs into a couple of Galesburg tackles and a big fourth down conversion for Rock Island down to the Galesburg 38 for a gain of 11.
Exact same play they used on fourth down in the first half. Fake it to Members inside, quickly get it to the outside. Well, in that previous play, though, Mike Velasquez, what a stop he made on Nimmers. That got everybody fired up over here. We've got a number of guys that should be a lock for all conference on defense, and Velasquez is certainly one of those.
Jacob's second longest run of the night. He had one for 20 earlier. He drops back to pass across the middle of the field, and it's dropped, I think.
Yes,
what
a break.
Did he juggle it?
Yep.
Because wide open in the middle of the field was Deshaun Davis. And the throw was right into the numbers. He had to hunch over a little bit to try to bring it in, and he just juggled it.
Yeah, and that pass actually had some touch on it. It wasn't a bullet. It was a very catchable ball. He just didn't haul it in, and a big break for the Silver Streaks, who have caught a few here tonight and have taken advantage of most of them.
Alec Jacobs completed his first four passes on the night. He's missed six of his last seven as Nimmers is strung out to the right, now cuts up to the 30-yard line. Couple yards short of the first down on a gain of 8, and it'll bring up 3rd and 2 for the Rocks. And Nimmers is starting to eat up a little more yardage. 3 carries for 16 yards in the second half after picking up 23 on 8 carries in the first half. 7 minutes to go, 3rd quarter. Silver Streaks with a 2-touchdown lead on longtime Western Big Six Conference champion Rock Island.
Clay, Cervantes, Diaz all in on the tackle. That time it's 3rd and 2.
Jacobs in the short gun, 3 yards back, high snap, quick handoff to Nimmers, up the middle, tripped up by the linebackers inside the 30, but a first down down to the 26 as he picks up 4 more.
Well, he tried to call on his knees for about 4 more there that time.
I noticed that.
Good effort, but ball came back.
Is it just me? I think Rock Island's kind of picked up the offensive pace here on this series.
Mm-hmm.
Seem to be trying to go a little quicker. Short drop by Jacobs, pass to the near side, caught, and then pushed out of bounds.
Is that the first time they've gone to Harris since since the touchdown?
First time they've completed one to him since the touchdown. They've thrown to him, one or two times. This goes as a gain of 8. It'll be 2nd and 2. Ellis's 3rd catch of the night for 55. At the Galesburg 18-yard line, up the middle, Nimmers hit left, finished off from the right. As Tavian Cervantes came in and helped polish him off, but Nimmers still carries his defenders to the 14 for a first down.
Coach Doherty trying to breathe a little fire into the defense now. They've been getting pushed back here slowly but surely. 6:30 to go, 3rd quarter. Rock Island with a drive that they're hoping will keep them in the ball game here with Silver Streaks up 2 touchdowns.
Nimmers has doubled his first yard rushing total in just 5 carries here in the 3rd quarter. They go to him again, strung out left, now cuts back up the middle into the linebackers again inside the 10-yard line, dives inside down to the 9. Myler, Cervantes again, but Nimmers picks up 5 more. It'll be 2nd and 5 from the Galesburg 9.
Yeah, Nimmers made a good read on that. If he goes to the left, he doesn't get anything, but he was able to just cut that thing back inside and pick up good yardage.
To the right side, the quarterback Jacobs trying to get inside, dives forward for the goal line. He stopped there. Did he break the plane? Looks like he did not, and he will be stopped almost at the exact same spot. The Streaks were on the opposite end of the field at about the 1-inch line. But a 1st and goal for the Rocks on the run by Jacobs down inside the 1.
All sorts of trouble stopping that play. This is one of those games. It was so nice to get that extra touchdown and get a little bumper in here.
And again, Rock Island not wasting any time coming out of the quick huddle. The snap to Jacobs. Hand off to Nimmers, and he's in easily for the touchdown. Across right tackle. And Rock Island, with an impressive scoring drive, takes it downfield in about 3.5 minutes. After the Streaks open the second half with a scoring drive of their own, and that gets the Rocks back within 8 with the extra point pending. Made it look easy that time.
Yeah. Well, the beauty of it is they've got to stop us at some point, or we'll just trade them touchdowns the rest of the way and be fine with that.
All right, Blumberg in for the extra point attempt. Streaks have been good on special teams. Can they get a block here? Not quite. And the kick is good, and a late flag comes down as the Streaks are going to get a penalty as Tyree Mitchell ran into the holder, Christian Sepulveda. And I'm assuming they're just going to tack that one on and give Rock Island the extra yardage on the kick.
Yep, the official just yelled that down here. They'll add it on the kick. So
28-21 after the extra point. Silver Streaks lead by 7. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Peter, this premium pulled pork sandwich from McDonald's is pure perfection. I'd like to propose we provide them at our company picnic.
Persuasive point, Paul. I think our people would appreciate that. They're pretty passionate about pulled pork in these parts. In fact, I've seen postings from people proclaiming just how pleased they are with this McDonald's pulled pork sandwich in particular. Apparently, it's pretty popular.
Personally, Peter, I'm pretty positive that people prefer it because it's premium pork piled high on an artisan roll. It's priced at just $3.29 and they could pull right up and purchase one. But that's just my personal opinion.
Perhaps you're right, Paul. Why don't you put it in front of the picnic planners for their prompt approval?
Perfect, Peter. I'll keep you posted on the progress.
Please do.
For a limited time, price and participation may vary.
Silver Streaks Football and WGIL is brought to you by Two Painted Ladies, offering upcycled furniture and unique handcrafted gifts. By Animal Medical Center, providing the finest veterinary care possible. And by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Hi, it's Tom Meredith. Coming up Monday morning, we'll be joined by current U.S. Senator Darren LaHood and the man who replaced him as Illinois State Senator Chuck Weaver. That'll be just after 8:10 on WGIL.
Island's most sustained scoring drive of the night actually covers the least amount of yardage. 12 plays, 58 yards. They take 3 minutes and 31 seconds off the clock. And tacking on the 15 yards and personal foul on the extra point attempt, the Rocks will kick off from their own 45 here. But they don't have quite the kicking game that they have had, especially during some of their real strong years. And they again go for the onside kick. And the Silver Streaks, Johnny on the spot, are able to scoot forward and fall on it right at the 46-yard line. Galesburg anticipated that one well. And the guy who got it, and I'm still waiting to see him come up off the bottom of the pile, is Patrick Bond. And the Streaks have great field position at their own 46.
That tells me they don't have a lot of confidence in their defense. You're going to give up that kind of field position still with 5:30 to go in the third quarter. They know they can't afford to trade scores. They've got to get that advantage with the ball back again.
Streaks out of the eye. DeAndre Morin hit behind the line of scrimmage, spins off his man, and then falls forward. But it can only get back to the line of scrimmage for no gain on first down. Morin over 100 yards rushing tonight on 16 carries. It'll be second and 10, Silver Streaks, from their own 46. Silver Streaks send 3 wideouts.
Morin got up. He's holding his left wrist, so hopefully that doesn't affect him when he carries the ball.
And now whistles as this play gets underway. The official's quick to confer. That's going to be a false start against the Streaks. I'm anticipating. Here comes the official call. Did you hear what he was saying down there, Jim?
Yeah, the wideout did not come far out enough. So that's going to be 5 against us. And I still keep watching DeAndre Morin. He's really holding that left wrist. He's not asked to come out or anything, but it's bothering him a lot.
Fourth penalty of the night against Galesburg for 40 yards. And now he lets go of the wrist. Jacob Ross comes up behind his offensive line, looks back at Morin, looks like he's changing the play at the line of scrimmage again. 2 wideouts to each side with Morin just to the left of Ross, fakes the handoff, quick swing pass to the near side by Myler, and then the blocks didn't quite create the free room that Myler needed to run up the near sideline, which was the short side of the field. He can only get the penalty yardage back up to the 46, and it'll be 3rd and 10.
Well, defense by Rock Island, and that's a real narrow window to make that play work because the sideline works as an extra defender when you've got everybody crowded in over there. Myler bumped helmets and able to get a few yards out of it, but not much, so sets up a 3rd down and 10. Streaks have not been in this situation too much tonight. Still have yet to punt. They'll actually had one running into the punter and one fake punt.
3rd and 10 from their own 46. It was their best field position of the night. Ross rolling out on the play fake, looking downfield, rolling to the far side of the field. Finally gets it away just as he's hit, and he throws it out of bounds. Mitchell was the intended target. Now a late flag comes down in Rock Island territory at the 49-yard line, and I think there was one player from each team kind of doing a little extra defensive positioning there. And I don't know if somebody said something or if there was a hand to the face or what was going on there. Here comes the signal. Illegal man downfield for Galesburg, and that's a 5-yard penalty. And loss of down two, is it not?
Yep. So we
Which
will
Rock Island declines.
We will see the punt unit. Rock Island makes the defensive stand that they need. They'll get the ball back, we assume, with just over 3 minutes to go in this third quarter.
Well, that's got to be disappointing for Coach Tim Doherty. It was the Streak's best field position of the night. Getting it at the 46-yard line, just 4 yards short of midfield. So now Hayden, the punter, is in, standing at his own 31. The snap to him. Here comes the rush and a high punt and a bit of a shank off to the right, but it'll fall and then kind of deaden itself inside the Rocks 35 down to the 33-yard line with 3:29 to go in the third quarter. And for the first time tonight, the Silver Streaks do not score on their offensive possession. And now the defense called to hold on and defend the 7-point lead.
Rock Island is not a team that is going to be intimidated by being down. That game with Quincy, they were down several times and rallied back in the closing minutes to win that one.
Did so against UT last week, too. They trailed most of that game until they went on a run late in the third quarter and throughout the fourth. Back to pass, Jacobs. Looks like he went down on a knee, and a man wide open on the far side of the field, and it's caught to Casey Commodore, and finally tracked down from behind by Fernando Diaz all the way down to the Galesburg 9.
Yeah, Tyree Mitchell, the last man there to save the touchdown, but he was probably the one in one-on-one coverage that got beat that time. Just a blazer down the sideline and a beautiful pass, but the Rocks in business in a hurry.
A 57-yard pass play. Two catches for Commodore tonight for 88 yards. First and goal from the 10. Nimmer stops short of the line of scrimmage, rolls right, and gets dragged down from behind for no gain.
Larry Pettis is up there and gets the hit for the loss. Pettis probably one of the leaders on this team and hits 4 losses. He plays very emotional, and when he gets an opportunity, he makes the most of it, and that time drags Nimmers down from behind.
After Alex Jacobs had gone incomplete in 6 of his previous 7 passes, he's now completed his last 2 for 65 yards, 190 through the air on the night. Second down, left side Nimmers now cuts up field and then hit inside the 5-yard line and taken down.
Kelly and Miner with a big hit that time on Nimmers as he got down around the 3.
He had a good burst forward, didn't he? I thought he might take it all the way.
Yep.
And then they closed quickly to stop him at the 4. Goes as a gain of 6, 3rd and goal from the 4.
Come on, Streaks, let's get a stop here. A couple of them. How about the first turnover of the night right here? That'd be a good spot.
Thinking earlier, we haven't seen one. Streaks have forced at least one in every game. Nimmers rolling right, trying to avoid the tackles. Finally dragged down. Nope, still on his feet.
Wow.
Pushing forward to the goal line, but stopped just short. But when he's finally brought down, again, inside the 1.
Yeah, Ricketts had a hold of him down low, but he's so strong, he was still squirming and fighting his way to the goal line. So, hey, this could be one of the plays of the game right here. 4th and goal at the 1 for Rock Island with a tying score.
Streaks had 2 goal line stops last week against Alleman. This is to protect a 7-point lead with a minute and a half to go in the third quarter. Jacobs, the quarterback, runs the play in from the sideline. As the clock continues to roll with 85 seconds to play here in the third quarter. 4th and goal inside the 1. Jacobs rolling left, cuts up field, and hit, knocked sideways. And he does break the plane for the touchdown. It was a late call. The officials waited, but they make the touchdown call. Good defense by the Streaks, but they needed to stop him maybe a foot and a half less than where they finally got him. That was a big hit, but Jacobs had enough momentum forward to cross the plane.
Yeah, this time they faked it. They went left. Previously, they'd gone right, faked to Nimmers, but this time they go left. Very aggressive run by the quarterback. He runs hard.
So, Rocks within one with the extra point pending. Good snap. Streaks again go for the block. It's a high kick left, and it does get inside the upright. So, we are tied at 28, a minute 16 to go in the third quarter. The Rocks have scored on each of their two possessions here in the second half, and the Streaks hope to get it back here. It looks like the officials are getting a word from the Silver Streaks. They think that didn't make it inside the uprights, and the officials went over and talked it over. And the referee confirmed, and we are tied at 28. 96 seconds to play, 76 seconds to play third quarter. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg Nissan's bottom line sales event is going on now. 0% financing for 72 months plus rebates on all 2015 Sentras and the best-selling Nissan Altima. 0% financing is also available on our exciting lineup of SUVs featuring the fuel-efficient Rogue, the luxurious Murano, and the 7-passenger Pathfinder. With over 100 new Nissans in stock and more arriving every day, the selection has never been greater. Bottom line sales event going on now at Galesburg Nissan, where you just can't buy a Nissan for less.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen? Maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Pick this week's winning teams and you could win a $50 Cherry Street gift certificate with the Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
Kickoff, Rock Island surprises Galesburg with its deepest kick of the night by Blumberg, and the Silver Streaks, Myler and Morin at the 15, watched it go over their heads, but not with enough momentum to get into the end zone, and Myler had to chase it backwards down to the 2-yard line, and he can return it only to the 13, which is where the Silver Streaks will start this possession with a minute 11 to go in the third quarter and a new ball game tied up at 28. And the Silver Streaks have lost the momentum. Handoff up the middle, trying to get it back. And a hard run by Nick Myler up to the 15 for a gain of 5.
All it takes is one big play to get it back. But Rock Island's defense has been pretty tough up and inside here the last couple of possessions. You know, Nick Myler, when he let that ball land on the kickoff, he probably remembered, I think, our last home game. He fair caught a ball at the 5. And so he's thinking, well, let it go in the end zone, but he just never got back there, and then he had to scramble back and pick it up.
Second and 8 on the rollout, Ross going to his right. Now back across the middle of the field. It's caught by Myler at the 30, to the 40, to the 50. Pursuit chases him down inside Rock Island territory and finally takes him down at the 30-yard line. And there's the big play you were just talking about, Jim Lee. No flags down, and a big gain for the Silver Streaks of 55.
Yeah, just takes one to turn the momentum and get this home crowd, especially the student body all dressed in pink on Pink Out Night, back into this ball game. That happened right in front of them where Myler was finally brought down. Against a number of teams we've played this year, that's a touchdown. But Rock Island, with their good speed, able to track down Nick from the backside, and he's got a bunch of all-purpose yards in this one tonight.
For Myler, that is his 8th catch for 115 yards to go along with 60 on the ground. And for the Silver Streaks now, first down from the Rock Island 30-yard line. And up the middle it goes. And not much room there for DeAndre Morin as he gets back to the line of scrimmage.
Ball came loose, but after the whistle.
And they actually will advance him forward across the 30, inside the 31, and that's how the third quarter ends. So the Streaks get a big play to try to take some momentum into the final quarter. It's a new ball game, 28-28. Streaks will face 2nd and 9 when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL, brought to you by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. Office specialists providing solutions for your business. And by Dennis Twitty State Farm, helping you manage the risks of everyday life, recovery from the unexpected, and realize your dreams. Your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Exciting news from Day's Auto Body. We are now F-150 aluminum truck specialists. We're one of the small percentage of shops in the state of Illinois who are equipped to handle this brand new truck. It's exciting for us. It's a great truck. Come to Day's Auto Body if you need to have it repaired.
Congratulations to Kimberly Fry of Galesburg, winner of a pair of tickets to see Game 2 of the National League Division Series with the Cubs and Cardinals tomorrow. Congratulations, Kimberly, from Buffalo Wild Wings and WGIL.
Rock Island scores on Galesburg in the third quarter for the first time this season. Galesburg had shut out six previous opponents in the third quarter. And by Rock Island scoring twice, we have a tie ball game as we begin quarter number four. Silver Streaks with a second and nine from the 30. Single setback is Myler. He gets the handoff and is hit immediately at the 30-yard line. And that was a big crunching hit up high. And I'm not so sure the ball didn't pop free at the end of that.
Yeah, I saw one of the Silver Streaks pointing our direction, so they apparently thought the ball might have been loose. But either way, we got it back. But
it was a big hit up high.
Sure was. I'm trying to see what truck he ran into there. It was number 71, Devontae Jackson, 6'2", 265-pound senior defensive lineman for the Rocks, came up big on that stop. So now you're looking at a passing down, I would think, on third and nine here. If you're Rock Island, you probably want to keep track of where number 21 is, because Nick Myler's been killing them tonight.
He split out wide to the right for the Rocks in pass formation. Ross, the pocket collapses, and he is sacked back at the 33-yard line. And the Rocks defense has responded. The offense picked up the Rocks, got them some momentum, turning this game around, rallying back from a two-touchdown deficit. And now the defense responds, starting the fourth quarter with two big stops on the Streaks to bring up fourth and a long 12.
And you don't punt from your own 33, so we'll see what we come up with here. Too far out for a field goal, obviously, at the high school level. So you got a couple of big targets and tight ends. See where we go here.
Ball back at the 33, and now the Streaks want to talk it over. They'll call timeout with 10:30 to go in the fourth quarter of a tie ball game. Let's take a timeout with them. 28-28 here at Van Dyke Stadium. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL, brought to you by attorney Tricia Blake at Blake Law Office in downtown Galesburg. Caring Hands Animal Clinic. Caring Hands, Caring Hearts, next to Bart Optical on Henderson Street. And by Templeton Roofing, best in roofs. Galesburg's commercial and residential roofing contractor since 1930.
Opportunities Knocking. If your business is looking to hire, there's no better way to reach thousands of prospective candidates than radio. Learn all about it at galesburg.info, keyword jobs. You'll talk to people at work, home, and play. That's the power of radio.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
10.5 minutes to play in the game here at Van Dyke Field. Streaks 28, Rock Island 28. Rock Island defense has come up with two big defensive stops here in the first two Galesburg plays of the fourth quarter, forcing a Galesburg timeout on fourth and almost 13. And they come out of the timeout, as Jim said, too deep to punt. So why not at least line up to go for it on fourth down? Fourth and 12, Streaks 2-for-2 on fourth down conversions tonight. Swing pass to the outside, Morin tries to avoid the pursuit, and he runs into a stop right at the 30-yard line. So a very short gain. Really gets them back only to the initial line of scrimmage after the loss on third down, and they'll give it up on downs with Rock Island taking over, 10:22 to play in the game.
Hey, you throw a screen pass there, but you got no blocking, and that's pretty tough to get 12 yards out of that. Morin got buried, and he's looking beat up right now. We were talking about him holding his wrist there the last possession. He got it from that tackle and holding the lower side of his right back, and he's taking a pounding. But hey, we got 10:22 to go here. The game's on the line. Rock Island now with the hammer. a chance for their third straight score, could take the lead.
Streaks haven't stopped him yet in the second half. A fired pass on the right side as Jacobs rolled out. It's caught on the far sideline, and he breaks free. Running down the far sideline and finally pushed out of bounds is Ellis, or rather, yes, is Ellis all the way down inside the Galesburg. Where exactly are they going to say he went out? Inside the 20. My goodness. A gain of 52. You're going to spot the ball at the Galesburg 18-yard line. Alex Jacobs has 117 yards passing in his last three completions. And the handoff to Nimmers, pushed backwards and then dragged down by the jersey back at the 24-yard line.
Kelly there on the tackle for the Silver Streaks.
Big,
big
stop.
Play to, again, get the sidelines and the crowd back into it.
They're going to spot him all the way back at the 25 for a loss of 7. It hasn't been easy for Trey Nimmers tonight. He does have 2 touchdowns, but only 46 yards rushing on 17 carries after he went for 229 and 5 touchdowns against United Township last week. Tied at 28 here. Both crowds making noise. Quick fired pass into the flat. Caught at the 20-yard line, and Freeman tackled inside the 15 down to the 13. And about 5 yards short of the first down. Brings up 3rd and 5 for Rock Island.
It was a good safe play for the Rocks, so able to pick up what they needed to get within reasonable shot at picking up first down on this 3rd and 5 now.
253 yards passing tonight for Alec Jacobs. Freeman's second catch of the night for 45. 3rd and a long 6. Rolling right, Jacobs under pressure, gets the pass away,
oh,
and batted away, nearly picked off by Clay on the far side of the field, but the defense holds for the moment, knocking it loose and incomplete.
Wow, wouldn't that have been something? And that was made possible by Mike Velasquez again.
Yep.
He was able to blow through there and was dragging on the back of the quarterback, Jacobs, forced him to throw it before he wanted to, and nearly enough that Caleb Clay could make a pick.
Rock Island is 2 for 4 on fourth downs in this game. They're going to line up for a field goal, it looks like. A field goal attempt. Bloomberg's had a couple of these this season. This will be from 36 yards out. 9:23 to go in the game. Rock Island looking for a lead. Can the Streak special teams make a stop here? The kick is away. It's got plenty of distance,
but he's
wide left. And we are remaining tied at 9:18 to go in the fourth quarter. Rock Island comes up empty. The Streaks defense holds.
Another one of those games, you go to recap it, and it'll take a long time. There have been so many twists and turns in this game. Heroic plays, missed plays. And the Rocks missed a great opportunity there after it looked like they were going to be in business. But, of course, the Streaks did the same thing on the completion to Myler. They came down here. You thought they were going to put some points on the board. The Rock Island defense stiffened, and now the Streaks return the favor.
Streaks take over. 9:18 to go in the game from their own 20, and Rock Island jumps off sides on the right side. The cornerback, William Miles, was trying to sneak in from the outside, and that'll make it 1st and 5.
Yeah, that's an easy penalty to call. He was 2 or 3 yards deep into the backfield, and nobody else had moved.
Not a whole lot of penalties in this game. The ones that have been there have come at pretty key times. That's only the 2nd Rock Island penalty in the second half after they were whistled 5 times in the first half. Myler to the left side, crouches down. And Blumberg takes him down at the 26 for a gain of just a yard, and it'll bring up 2nd and 4.
Well, the keys in football always to get lower than the other guy, and Myler pretty good at that, but as low as he went, Blumberg was almost on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And he just lowered down and went right into the midsection of the Rock Island defender and got suplexed, basically, taken down and rolled over.
Lewistown Indians are turning their season around. After beating Rushville Industry last week, they knock off A-Town tonight, 32-20.
Wow, they're coming around.
8:38, fake pass by Ross, and then the swing pass to the outside is deflected behind the line of scrimmage.
Boy.
And Caleb Clay rolls over and just picks it up, and we've got Jacob Ross down in the back
Wow. Rock Island got away with one there. The Galesburg coaching staff, and I don't blame them. William Miles took Ross 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage after the pass had been batted away and threw him to the ground, and there was no flag. Wow.
A lot of fans up here right in front of us saw that too. They probably weren't as unhappy as Tim Doherty was, but rightfully pretty upset. That's going to bring up third and four now with the ball at the 25-and-a-half-yard line. 8:32 is where the clock has stopped of a tie ball game.
Well, I don't think any of the officials were looking at it. It was far enough back away from the ball.
The snap to Ross. The handoff up the middle to Morin, and he doesn't have far to go. He crosses the 25, the line of scrimmage, up to about the 27. So a very short gain on third down, and the Streaks have yet to convert on third down. They were 4-for-5 in the first half, 0-for-4 in the second half, and this brings up fourth and three, and the punt unit heads out.
Yeah, our hope was that the offensive line would start to wear them down in the second half, but it's been quite the opposite. We don't have any lanes to run in anymore, and things are really turning in Rock Island's favor as we have to punt from our 12-yard line.
Morin with 105 yards rushing tonight, but only blocked. 17 in the second half, and the punt is blocked, and the Streaks fall on it. But Rock Island special teams has done to Galesburg what the Streaks have done to their opponents. And all Matt Ricketts can do is fall on the loose ball at the 20-yard line. And Rock Island has a short field with 7:49 to go in the game, tied at 28.
Rock's using their height with their rushers coming in that time. A big right hand able to get on that ball. Streaks very slow. It was a little bit of a high snap and a very deliberate approach to the ball. And that's all the Rocks needed to get the block. But they're just at the 20. The Streaks defense held last time. Can they do it again?
Streaks need a turnover. They've had at least one in every game this season. They need one here, and a flag flies just as the play gets underway. And it looked like Nimmers was going to have a pretty big hole up the middle to run, and he comes back with his arms spread out saying, how can you stop the play? I was going to take that one. Well, of course, the makeup of the Western Big Six Conference really changes here tonight if Rock Island pulls off the upset. How about Moline and Alleman tied at 14 going into the fourth quarter? How would that make things more interesting?
You know, you just had to figure that was going to be a dogfight. I mean, they play very similar styles.
Yeah.
Alleman playing for pride right now after, you know, a couple of bad losses, and I thought they might play him tough.
Handoff up the middle to Nimmers. Avoids the right, now spins to the left. Had a heck of a job by DeAndre Morin just to hang on to him. And that slows Nimmers down enough, but he still manages to pick up three more yards after the stop. So he gets the penalty yardage back, plus a few more down to the 17.
I tell you, you can see why Nimmers had five touchdowns last week, though. This kid, he is strong, and he is, if you're going to tackle him, you got to pack a lunch. I mean, he will not go down easy.
18 carries for 54 yards. The Streaks have done a number on him. Here's Jacobs to pass. He's got a man wide open at the 10 and taken down there by Tyree Mitchell right at the sideline inside the 10 to the 8. And that's a first and goal for the Rocks.
Coach is not very happy that our corners were playing so far off the ball that time. Telling them, hey, they can't beat you deep. Don't give them that big of a bumper. Mm-hmm. The Rocks, good play call, just took advantage of what we were giving them.
Third catch for Casey Commodore for 97 yards. First and goal from the Rocks at the Galesburg 8. After the blocked punt, handoff Nimmers left, bounces off two men, and forward momentum takes him across the goal line, and the Rocks take a six-point lead with 7:02 to play in the game. And they have scored 20 unanswered now to rally back from a two-touchdown deficit.
Rock Island playing with all the passion, all the confidence, all the energy right now, led by that man that just scored the touchdown, Nimmers, who is going to will them into the end zone. And the Streaks going to have to reach deep to find their confidence as much as anything right now in the final 7 minutes because they're looking a little down.
The block punt leads to a short field. Rock Island has to cover only 20 yards. They do it in three plays despite going backwards 5 yards on a penalty, and it took them just 47 seconds off the clock. The extra point makes it 35-28 Rocks. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Deep within the Pest Quest Training Laboratories.
Stinging insects send over 500,000 people to the hospital every year. I don't like hospitals.
Rodents, like mice, contaminate food and transmit disease.
Cockroaches spread 33 kinds of bacteria, 6 parasitic worms, and can trigger asthma. That can't be good.
Pests are anything but child's play. Protect your little scientist by getting the facts at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Hi, it's Tom Meredith. Coming up Monday morning, we'll be joined by current U.S. Senator Darren LaHood and the man who replaced him as Illinois State Senator Chuck Weaver. That'll be just after 8:10 on WGIL.
Replay scoring drive for Rock Island, which has had all the momentum here in the second half. Galesburg scored on its first possession of the third quarter, and they have been blanked since then. 3 straight touchdowns by the Rocks. Myler takes the kickoff at the 10, and the special team swarms him at the 25-yard line. And the Streaks, who've been good on special teams, they've been good offensively, they've been great defensively this year, are now finding a hard time getting anything accomplished here as we are approaching the midpoint of the fourth quarter, and Galesburg trailing for the first time since Rock Island scored in the first minute and 40 seconds.
Student body still trying to get the team fired up and get them down the field one more time to see if they can't tie this thing up. Plenty of time with about 7 minutes left.
Ross rolling way back behind him and throws behind him to Jacob Carl and nearly intercepted by the Rocks. In fact, I wasn't so sure. Maybe Devon Barber hadn't come up with the completion as Ross's pass was behind Jacob Carl, and the Streaks fortunate they still have it.
Yeah, Jacob Talkie also over there for Rock Island. I think the ball had hit his leg at some point. And it was one of those where the ball kind of disappeared, and you're thinking, well, has somebody got it? Or then finally it trickled out onto the ground. But, yeah, dangerous throw.
Monmouth-Roseville ends up pouring it on West Hancock tonight, 54-30.
Well, they're like Lewiston. They're kicking in late in the season.
Now Ross fumbles the snap. He's rolling back under pressure, and he's got a man wide open, and he overthrows Jacob Carl again, who couldn't have been more open on the broken play, and Ross just couldn't find him. Jacob Carl would have run for a ways on that one.
Yeah. Oh, how Ross would love to have that back, but I understand he's trying to pick the ball up off the turf. He had a little more time than he thought he did, and Carl was out here, and I mean, there was one other Galesburg receiver and a Rock Island defender on him, but that was the only white jersey all the way down the field. They all got sucked into the middle looking for that ball on the ground. If he could have got that to Carl, he might still be running.
Morrison upsets Orion tonight, 20-17
wow.
In overtime. Back to pass on third down on a screen pass again to Myler, who breaks a tackle at the 30 and burrows into a couple of defenders up to the 44-yard line, and a monstrous third down conversion for the Silver Streaks to keep this drive alive. When in doubt, get it to number 21.
Get it to your playmaker, no matter what team. And there is no question that he is the Silver Streaks playmaker. And not only does he catch the ball, but he just runs so darn hard. There's a lot of guys that still wouldn't have made a first down on that. But he was just not going to be denied. And Streaks still have life here.
A gain of 20 to the 45. Hand off to Myler again up the middle. Gains 3 to the 48. Myler with 135 yards on 9 receptions tonight. And that's his 12th carry for 64 yards.
We're waiting for the moment where we can say, hey, there's the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game. That play yet to be made here tonight. We've had some big plays, but crunch time is coming on us here with under 6 minutes to go.
Past the midpoint of the fourth quarter with the Rocks leading 35-28. They've scored 21 unanswered. Second and 7 for Galesburg from the Streaks 48-yard line. Ross comes up under center, hands off to Myler Wright. Dives forward for the first down in Rock Island territory at the 44. Big hole opens up for him just off right tackle. And he does the rest of it himself, picking up 8 yards.
Rock Island, Seamus Murray gets the tackle. All he could do was just latch on to Nick's ankles. Wasn't going to bring him down up high, so got him low.
2 wideouts to the left, Mitchell and Caleb Clay. Now Morin will line up. With the 3 wideouts to the left, Myler the single setback with tight end right. He goes right, cuts up the middle, carries some defenders inside the 40 to the 39-yard line for a gain of 5 more. And the clock rolling toward the five-minute mark here in the fourth quarter with the Streaks trailing by seven.
And this is where your conditioning has to pay off. The big guys on the offensive line needing to really fire off the ball, and they are creating some openings here. Nothing touchdown type, but might are able to get 5 and 6 yards at a pop here as the clock is under 5 minutes.
Galesburg Soccer with a win tonight over Jacksonville, 3-1. Congratulations to Coach Philip Reddington's team. Second and six. Handoff Morin, tackled in the backfield, but then stays on his feet, cuts inside the 40 and slips, and maybe gets a yard or two out of it, and a flag comes down late on a hold against the Silver Streaks. Just the fifth penalty of the night against Galesburg for 50 yards. And the flag coming down almost at the end of the play negates what ended up being a very short gain by DeAndre Morin, and a great job by DeAndre not even to get tackled for a loss as he slipped a tackle 3 or 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Now the Streaks are backed up to the Rock Island 49. Second and 16 for the Silver Streaks. They have to get down inside the Rock Island 34 with the clock rolling 4.5 minutes to play, and the Rocks leading by seven. A victory tonight for the Silver Streaks would clinch a share of their second straight conference title. They've never done that in the Western Big Six. Back to pass. Ross with the pump fake. On the screen. Wide open. Myler with a catch at the 49 to the 40. And then knocked out of bounds by two defenders down to the 37-yard line. So still 4 yards short of the first down marker, but a much more manageable third down opportunity here.
Yeah, they never did get Nick down over here on the near sideline, and his number being called more and more as the season goes along, and especially as DeAndre Morin just not able to get the yardage he had earlier in the season. Miner the only one in the backfield now with Ross.
On third and a long three. Hand off to Myler up the middle. Hit at the line of scrimmage and then dives forward down to the 33-yard line for another first down and another big down, third down conversion.
Now, Myler could feel he moved to the left. Instead of just hitting the hole and going straight forward, he angled off to the left after he got to the line of scrimmage. I think that's what made the difference for him. Just enough to get the chains moved and the Streaks with 4:06 and counting, trying keep a potential game-time drive going.
15 carries for 80 yards tonight for Nick Myler, who's the up man in the I formation. Morin dotting the I. Ross comes up under center. Hand off to Morin. Up the middle. Found a hole. Still on his feet at the 20. Going for the corner. 10, 5, touchdown! DeAndre Morin up the middle. Slipped a tackle from the linebackers. And he takes it the distance for 33. And with an extra point pending, the Streaks could tie it up.
That's where Morin is so dangerous. He's not able to break many tackles, but he broke a tackle down low. And then when he gets one step on the defense, he's like Myler. He accelerates so quickly. He got separation there and was not going to be touched. He finally got pushed from the backside, but that was after he was a yard or two deep into the end zone. And here we go for the tie.
Remember, Clark Hawkins did a heck of a job on a snap earlier to square it up for Anderson. With the Streaks down one, 3:47 to go. A good snap here. The hold is good. The kick has plenty of distance, and we're tied at 35. 3:47 to go in the fourth quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Hi, we're talking to real smokers about quitting. Tell me when you smoke and why you smoke.
Eat, cigarette, kids, cigarette, dinner, another cigarette.
One on my way to lunch, one after lunch.
And another cigarette, and another cigarette.
Have you tried to quit?
Yes. I become angry.
It ain't that easy. You can't just quit cold turkey. I tried.
What would you do different?
Actually having a plan and thinking it through.
You have to relearn how to live your life without a cigarette in your hand.
With the right plan, you can quit smoking. Free at becomeanx.org. X, a new way to think about quitting. Brought to you by X and the Ad Council.
With the Yum Ford Pro Football Pick'em, there's a weekly winner as well as a grand prize of $500 and more. Pick your teams now at WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football team coming into this conference matchup tonight had given up only 65 points all season long. They've surrendered more than half of that tonight, giving up 35 to Rock Island. And yet, we are tied. With 3 minutes, 47 seconds to go in the game, the Silver Streaks take 3 minutes, 10 seconds off the clock a 10-play scoring drive that covers 75 yards. Remember, Jim, all the way back to 3rd and 10 at the Galesburg 25-yard line, way back at the beginning of that drive. And the big pass play to Nick Myler to move the chains, and the streaks kept going downfield from there. Here's Anderson's kick. A line drive up the far side of the field, bouncing twice and picked up at the 15-yard line as Deshaun Davis tries to cut back toward the middle, now bounces to the outside, and finally the streaks chase him down on what could have been a long run, and then maybe the ball popped out. It looks like there's a bit of celebration going on the far side of the field. Lots of players bunched up over there, but Rock Island's going to have it at the 36.
With everything that's gone on in this one, it's amazing. There's not been a turnover, has there?
The block punt is the closest thing we've had tonight that you could call to a turnover.
Yeah, but no, nobody laying it on the ground. I mean, it squirted out after the whistle a couple of times, but no interceptions. The ball's been in the air quite a bit.
Maybe the streaks haven't been able to stop the passing game tonight. Jacobs with a handoff right to Nimmers. Good head of steam forward, bouncing to the outside. He picks up 8 on first down as the streaks finally corral him at the 43.
Well, as much as that last drive was awesome and the great finish by Morin in the tie game, you know, Rock Island in that Quincy game, they moved down the field in like a minute and 2 seconds, if I remember that correctly. So they can do it in a hurry. We need to make some big stops, make some big plays here.
Hand off to the left side. Jacobs rather on the keeper, and he's swarmed down by Jason Kelly back at the 41-yard line. Terrific pursuit by the Streaks defense.
Yeah, Jason Kelly that time, he's getting fired up. This defense strung that play out. Their quarterback has hurt us a number of times with the keeper, but he wasn't going to get it done there. Ball on the hash mark over by the Silver Streak sideline as the players over here shout encouragement to their 11 out there on the field.
Jacobs with a loss of 2 brings up 3rd and 4. The snap and the pass and the completion right at the 48-yard line and right into the numbers again of Casey Commodore, who's come up big here in the second half. And they pick up 6, and that's enough for a first down, and he's over 100 yards in receiving tonight.
Yeah, it's good hands. Commodore is slightly built at 6'155", but he's got good hands. That ball was thrown hard. It was all hands. He had to reach up and catch that, and it's a little slick, and he still got it.
Out of the snap, a high snap to Jacobs, but he gets the handoff to Nimmers and a hole across the left side and gets to the 45-yard line in Galesburg territory before finally knocked down by Nick Myler. And he picks up 7 more on first down. And Nimmers really starting to chew up yardage. It's been hard running for him tonight, and he's gained what seems like a very respectable 77 for the Galesburg defense. But he's picking up more and more as this game rolls down under 2 minutes to go. The streak's creeping up on the blitz. Jacobs hit as he fires it away to a wide-open receiver and dropped by Deshaun Davis, who couldn't have been more open at the 25.
Second drop of the night for Davis, who also dropped one over the middle at about the 15 or 20 on an earlier drive, and he was wide open.
Oh. Streaks have had some breaks in this game. Will it be enough to get them over the top? We're tied at 35, a minute 52 to go in the game. Rock Island facing 3rd and 3 here. From the Galesburg 45, handoff left, Nimmers gets the first down, dragged down inside the 40 to the 39. He picks up 6, and the Rocks move the chains. Back-to-back third down conversions for Rock Island to keep this drive alive. Nimmers with 83 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns tonight. And the clock rolls with a minute 45 as they get the marker set. 2 wideouts to the short side left. Jacobs rolls right, looking right. Man open at the sideline and nearly picked off from behind.
Man.
By Fernando Diaz, who came creeping up and stepped in front of the intended receiver, and he would have taken it the distance, except he just couldn't make the catch.
We're seeing many guys at the same time over here bending over, grasping their hands, going, oh, man, that was so close, because Diaz read that perfectly, just couldn't quite get the pick.
So after the drop by Deshaun Davis, that would have set up a big play for Rock Island. Now the Rocks get a break. Penetration in the backfield, but Jacobs keeps it. Instead of handing it off to Nimmers, which would have been for a big loss, Jacobs scrambles forward inside the 35 to the 32-yard line, and he picks up 7 on a broken play.
Yeah, savvy play by the quarterback. I thought Nimmers had it.
49 yards on the ground on the night for the quarterback, Alec Jacobs, on 12 carries. Third and 4 for Rock Island from the Galesburg 32-yard line, and a timeout called by the Rocks with a minute 11 to go in the game. Tied at 35. Here's a score for you, Jim Lee. As this game's been so entertaining, there hasn't been really much need to watch what else is happening around the area tonight in high school football.
Well, I don't want to talk about the Cub Cardinal game anymore.
Well, you'll get a kick out of this football score. How about Elmwood Brimfield leading Farmington 77 to 64 with 42 left in the game? They don't score that much in basketball.
No, not even close. That's crazy. What could be going on down there?
Holloman has taken a 21-14 lead on Moline with a minute 39 left in the game. We're tied here at 35. Rock Island with the ball facing a third and three, three and a half, really, from the Galesburg 32-yard line. Ball spotted between the hash marks.
So if Rock Island wins this, they'll be in the driver's seat. All they'd have to do is beat Holloman next week to take the conference. If they win this.
We're tied at 35. 71 seconds to play in the game. On third and three, the handoff, Nimmers. Big hole up the middle. He's got the first down as the streaks take him down at the 26. He picks up 6 more, and the Rocks have 3 straight third down conversions on this drive.
Well, they probably need to get at least another 8 to 10 yards to be in field goal range.
They tried one earlier and missed. Back to pass, Jacobs across the middle, and he short-armed it. And Rock Island is begging for the completion, but it sure looked from up here like that ball clearly skimmed off the turf. They tried to sell it, but it's incomplete. Clock stops 56.9 seconds to go.
Yeah, the receiver got up with as indignant as you'd see any NFL wideout, but I think you're right, Brad. He was just trying to do a good sales job. He short-hopped it well, but it caught some grass.
Third straight incompletion by Alec Jacobs. Second and 10 from the 27. Streaks jumping at the line of scrimmage. Now Jacobs backs off. Says something to Nimmers, who lines up directly to his right. Takes a handoff. Nimmers waits for a hole up the middle. Trying to break free of some tackles. Dives inside the 20 to the 19-yard line. He picks up 8. It'll be 3rd and 2. And the clock rolls with 45 seconds to go in the game. And this would be, well, it's at the 19. This would be a 36-yard field goal. They're trying to keep it in the middle of the field. On 3rd and 3, Jacobs rolling right with room to run. Now the streak's trying to string him out to the outside, and they wrap him up inside the 15 to the 14, but that's enough for another first down, and the clock stops with 27 and a half seconds to go.
Well, we lost to Dunlap on a field goal at the same north goalpost, and maybe the same scenario tonight, although Dunlap kicked theirs with 4 minutes left. Rock Island, 27 seconds, clock moving.
4 straight third down conversions for Rock Island. And they go right inside the 10. And Rocks call timeout with 16 and a half seconds to go in the game of a 35-35 tie. And the ball will be spotted at the far hash mark, 2nd and 5, just inside the 10.
Well, at least if we can force them into a kick, there are a lot of things that can go wrong with a kick. I don't think you'll see them put it in the air here and take that risk, although they've got a lot of confidence in their quarterback. I tell you what, this kid can throw on the run with a strong arm as good as anybody you'll see. He really has a commanding presence out here on the field, aggressive running and throwing the ball.
With the ball spotted just inside the 10-yard line, this would be about a 27-yard field goal. Streaks special teams has had a blocked punt. They've had a blocked kick this year. And they need one here. Unless Rock Island is going to try to run one more play with 16.5 seconds. Looks like they will, because I do believe they have one more timeout remaining that they can use if needed. Or they can just throw one into the end zone and try to get a touchdown. Jacobs will do that. A fade to the far corner. A dive for it. Did he get his feet in? He did.
Heck of a catch in the far corner. Like something you'd see Randy Moss do years ago. Able to stretch that long body out. Kept his toes in bounds. That was a thing of beauty. Not the result we wanted, but you got to tip your cap on a really safe play call. The only one that could catch that ball was the Rock Island receiver. Perfectly thrown right toward the back of the end zone, and he stretched all the way out and made it count. And with 12 seconds to go, Rock Island takes the touchdown lead.
Wow, wow, wow. Bloomberg in for the extra point. And it's blocked. Maybe a little, too late. 41-35 Rock Island with 12 seconds to play in the fourth quarter here at Van Dyke Field. And this will be a very safe kick that the Rocks will make here to not give the Streaks any opportunity to set up any more of a high percentage run back, field position. The Streaks need a touchdown, and they're going to probably have to take it a significant amount of turf to do it with 12 seconds to go. Moline driving on Alleman with the ball down to the 13-yard line, trailing the Alleman Pioneers by a touchdown.
On the Maroons, I mean, the Maroons sniffing a conference title if they know what's going on here.
Uh-huh.
The only team to beat Rock Island in the conference, Moline.
A 14-play scoring drive by Rock Island, and the high kick taken to the far side of the field, backing up Myler to the 6. He'll run it up the middle of the field, trying to bounce off some defenders, and spun down at the 29-yard line with 6.5 seconds to play in the game. A 14-play scoring drive by Rock Island that covers 64 yards. Just a beautifully run, beautifully executed drive by the Rocks. They took 3 minutes and 28 seconds off the clock, leaving the Streaks with 12 seconds. And after the kickoff run back, now 6.5 seconds from their own 29-yard line.
Rock Island will have about 3 guys up front and 8 defensive backs here. They are spread all the way down the field, 10, 20, 30 yards deep down the field.
If the Streaks wanted to go with a quick sideline route, it would have to be a very short one because they don't have enough room to run it for very long, and now a timeout's going to be called by the Silver Streaks with 6.5 seconds to play.
Now you can draw up a lot of plays for different situations in a ball game. Trying to draw up one that gets you 70 plus yards with 6.5 seconds to go, that's pretty tough. Maybe if we could throw a uniform on Josh Eicher here for a play. But, you know, even Josh with his great speed, there's just going to be so many guys back there in the secondary for Rock Island. It's, you know, you can try the lateral thing. Did you see the end of that Bears-Raiders game last week?
No.
Oakland got it quite a ways down the field, doing the whole lateral thing before it finally caved in, and then they ended up losing 20 or 30 yards. It was kind of fun to watch.
Well, it's a final. Alleman has defeated Moline 21-14.
What a wacky year in the Big Six.
So the Maroons, Quincy, and Alleman are all 2-2, and the Silver Streaks are 6.5 seconds away. They need a miracle. The three-man rush is on. The screen pass to Nick Myler is caught. He's up to the 40. He's up to midfield at the 50 and now tries to lateral backwards, and it's up into the air to Caleb Clay, but there's whistles on the far side of the field, and Clay is tackled anyway, and the game is over. So a very disappointed Galesburg home crowd watches their Streaks fall, and the undefeated run of the conference is over as Rock Island wins it 41-35, and the Streaks and the Rocks are now tied at 3-1, and as Jim mentioned just a bit ago, with the way the rest of the conference has played out tonight, Rock Island is now in the conference lead at 3-1 with the streaks tied. But the Rocks, having won here tonight, have the tiebreaker, with Galesburg still a tough battle to play at Quincy next Friday night. Take a timeout. Disappointing loss. The postgame's coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street. You just can't buy a Nissan for less. McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee, OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg, all together better. By Kratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast: mostly clear skies with a low of 43 tonight. Sunshine with a high of 69 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, clear skies, a low of 49. Sunday, sunny and warmer with a high of 80. Sunday night, mostly clear, a low down around 60. And Columbus Day, sunshine and breezy with a high of 74. Monday night, mostly clear skies, overnight low down around 47. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 53 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Well, a terrific high school football game here tonight that does not go the home team's way, and a very disappointed Galesburg crowd ambling out after the Rocks win it 41-35. Our postgame coach's interview is with Tim Doherty, and Jim Lee is with him now. Jim?
All right. Well, Coach, obviously a tough loss, but you knew coming in this was a very good Rock Island team, and this game played a lot like the one that they played Quincy, just back and forth, up and down the field, and you just really couldn't stop them in the second half.
Yeah, I thought we got outplayed in the second half. I mean, they're just so explosive on offense. I mean, I didn't feel good if you'd have told me we're going to give up that many points that we're going to win. I just didn't feel like. I don't think we played very good on defense, plain and simple. Quarterback's very, very good, and the running back's a hard runner. And, you know, I thought their defense, they came out a different defensive scheme, and we just kind of sat on our heels a little bit. But, you know, credit to them. They won the game.
Yeah. You know, when we were up 28-14, you know, we were saying, well, we could just trade touchdowns, we'll be safe. But they got a couple of stops on us there. We'd moved the ball, hadn't had to give it up. Of course, they gave us a break on the first half when they knocked down the punter. We took the drive on in. We used the fake punt, which worked out really well for us. But then it seemed like our offense kind of stagnated there at a key time, too.
Yeah, I don't think we played very well offensively, really the entire game. We had a couple of spurts, but I think the film will tell that we just weren't as clean inside. And they just outplayed us, you know. They just, you know, and a little bit different scheme, but it's one that we've seen, and we just got outplayed.
When they got up, though, you came back at 35-28, marched it down the field. Inspiring touchdown, got everybody back into it, but then I guess you leave Rocky 3 minutes and it doesn't take long.
Yeah, I mean, our pass defense was horrible. We gave up easy, short catches, the hitches. We knew what they were going to run, and then the guys were wide open on deep. So we got to play it, plain and simple. Got to rally the troops and play better next week.
In this crazy Western Big Six Conference, Alleman beats Moline tonight. So I guess you never know from week to week.
Yeah, you got to strap it on and go. And they did, and we didn't tonight.
Coach, thanks for your time, and we'll see you down at Quincy next week.
Okay, you bet. Thanks.
Our thanks, as always, to Tim Doherty joining us here in the post game. No matter what the outcome, and tonight not the one that we had hoped for. Silver Streaks had a 28-14 lead early in the third quarter. The Rocks score 21 straight. Silver Streaks come back to tie it up at 35, and then the Rocks get the winning touchdown with 12 seconds left, a 9-yard pass play that capped off a 14-play scoring drive that left the Streaks with only 6.5 seconds to run a play from scrimmage, and they got to midfield, but that was it, as Galesburg and Rock Island are now tied at 3-1 in the conference, and the Streaks give up more points tonight than they have in any two games this season. And the Rocks are now in the driver's seat in the Western Big Six Conference lead, with, as Jim said, the way everything else played out around the conference tonight. Take a timeout. Look at the numbers when we come back. The final statistics on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Bless you. You're okay. Oh, honey, you're okay. Maybe you're not okay. People say moms know best, and they do. But sometimes they need a second opinion. When that happens, there's no better place to turn than to the OSF Medical Group and Galesburg Clinic. There you'll meet some of the area's top pediatricians, experts in helping your little ones feel all better again. Moms wish hugs and kisses could fix little sniffles, big owies, and everything in between. But when worst comes to worst, children need the best care possible. That's why our pediatricians are available day or night, even weekends. Plus, you'll have access to the entire OSF Healthcare Network for a wide variety of specialized care. Learn more about how OSF pediatricians can give you and your children care that's altogether better at osfgalesburgclinic.org/pediatrics.
Congratulations to Kimberly Fry of Galesburg, winner of a pair of tickets to see Game 2 of the National League Division Series with the Cubs and Cardinals tomorrow. Congratulations, Kimberly, from Buffalo Wild Wings and WGIL.
Silver Streaks fall by a final of 41-35 here tonight. Galesburg now 4-3 on the season. So is Rock Island, and they're both 3-1 in the Western Big Six. But Rock Island in the driver's seat for the automatic playoff bid that comes with the conference championship. Our post-game statistics here on WGIL brought to you by Craddy Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance agency in Galesburg. DeAndre Morin leads the Streaks on the ground with 19 carries for 138 yards and two touchdowns. Nick Myler, 15 carries for 80 yards and a touchdown. And Jacob Ross carried it three times for 5 yards and a touchdown. Ross, 15 of 22 passing tonight for 204 yards and a touchdown. That went to Jacob Carl, his only reception of the night for 16 yards. DeAndre Morin had 3 catches for 20. Nick Myler, 11 receptions for 168 yards tonight. For Rock Island, only 2 guys ran the ball tonight, the quarterback and Trey Nimmers. That was it.
All they needed. Those guys were tough.
38 carries for 155 yards. So the Silver Streaks still did a nice job defensively, holding the Rocks to 155 yards on the ground, 96 to Nimmers on 24 carries. But he still found the end zone 3 times. Alec Jacobs, the quarterback, had 14 carries for 59 yards. Jacobs did most of his damage through the air, though, 12 of 22 for 277 yards and 2 touchdowns, including the 9-yarder that won the game for him. Jacob Ellis had a couple of those touchdown catches for 64 yards. Casey Commodore had 4 receptions for 103 yards. Rock Island whistled 7 times for 70 yards in penalties, but only 2 in the second half for a total of 10. The Streaks, 5 penalties for 50 yards. Take a timeout. We'll come back with our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game and final thoughts from Van Dyke Field as Rock Island spoils Pink Out Night and Stack the Stands Night here at Van Dyke. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Trying to convey an idea to somebody else never results in the vision you had in your head. Take matters into your own hands. Let Breedlove Sporting Goods help you design your next t-shirt. Navigate to BreedloveSports.com, click on the t-shirt designer icon, and put your mad design skills to work. Start by picking your canvas, t-shirts, polos, hoodies, even drinkware, signs, and banners. From there, you can customize everything, color, artwork, text, numbers, even upload an image. You can be the designer with Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Get started now at BreedloveSports.com.
It's sweet. It's a treat. It's aromatic. It's taste buds ecstatic. It's so long summer and hello, tasty friend. It's like flying through a pumpkin patch on a leaf blower-powered hayride with a goat named Leche who escaped from the petting zoo. It's the scent of the season. It's the flavor of fall. The one, the only, the autumnal for all. It's the McCafe Pumpkin Spice Latte, and it's all these things all season long. Grab one today and let your pumpkin spice season begin at McDonald's. At participating restaurants, limited time only.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL brought to you by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. Office specialists providing solutions for your business. And by Dennis Twitty State Farm, helping you manage the risks of everyday life, recovery from the unexpected, and realize your dreams. Your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
It sounds good on AM, but sounds even better on FM. 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL.
Our final order of business here from Van Dyke Field tonight is the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, which we've kind of held off on because while there were some great plays here tonight, it was kind of hard to find that Crunch Time Player of the Game. But I think we've got it, Jim.
Yeah, you know, we kept waiting for that big play, and we had a lot of guys make big plays through the course of the game, but nothing that really changed the course of the game. A couple of near interceptions that certainly would have qualified, and in talking about those, what we arrived at was the reason that we nearly had a couple of interceptions, one opportunity for Diaz, another for Clay, was because of what happened inside, and that was Mike Velasquez a couple of times able to shoot through and put pressure on the Rock Island quarterback and force him to throw the ball before he wanted to. And while it didn't end up being an interception, the play certainly was made on the front end of it by Velasquez, who was just a monster inside at times tonight. And as I said during the course of the game, I would think certain to be an all-conference defensive performer. And so we like Mike Velasquez for what he was doing in there tonight, trying to disrupt that potent Rock Island offense.
And what could have been the winning play of the game for the Silver Streaks doesn't come to be. The Rock Island drive continues, and they end up winning at 41-35. Both teams now 3-1 in the Western Big Six and 4-3 overall, with Galesburg arguably having the tougher of the two games next week, traveling down to Quincy. Although the way Alleman's playing, I mean, with a big win over Moline tonight, who knows how much of a contest they might give Rock Island. So it's not out of Galesburg's hands yet,
no.
But they definitely need some help, unfortunately.
No, I wish you could have seen the look on Tim Doherty's face when I told him that Alleman beat Moline tonight. He just turned his head back and kind of had a smirk. I don't think he could believe it,
yeah.
Too. But
because that would have done it. If we win tonight, yeah. Then it doesn't matter anything that happened the rest of the week.
Yeah, but now, I mean, this upsets the fruit basket. I mean, certainly Rock yep. Island in the driver's seat, just like we were tonight. They've got the hammer, but Alleman is going to give them everything they got. And I worry about us having to go down to Quincy for the final game, because not only did we lose this game, but we've got to rebuild confidence on the defensive side of the ball. And the defense is what it had been so outstanding all season. Well, now these guys are going off the field. You know, Rock Island scored, their last four times and just took this game away. And you know Quincy's looking, and they've got a high-powered offense too. Can we go down there and prevent a 41-point onslaught by the Blue Devils,
right.
Who especially on their home field, have been putting up a ton of points? You know, we go from talking conference title, where are we going to go for the playoffs, to going, wow,
we may not make the playoffs.
We got to beat one of two really good teams in the last week to even make the playoffs now. So this was a huge pivot game. And now the question is, can this team pivot back and get its moxie back and find a way to win one of these last two games? It's going to be really hard.
Well, and even with or without what happens here tonight, I can't help but think that Quincy has been watching and waiting for this game. After we beat them last year, they came up here 4-0.
And we're trying to 21-7.
Yep, and trying to sweep through and go undefeated in the Western Big Six. And we come up here and win in just absolute thrilling fashion, create a three-way tie for the conference, and now we're going down there, and they've got to have revenge on their minds to knock us totally out of the race,
sure.
I would think.
Well, and they're going to be fighting for a playoff berth,
sure.
too.
Sure, yeah.
You know, they had a couple of things happen in the Quad Cities they didn't think would happen. I think they were picked to maybe win the conference and lost at Rocky in a heartbreaker, and we heard a lot of rumblings that if they'd have played that Friday night, they would have won. Well, then they go up there last week and really got it handed to them by Moline to just beat them up and ground it out on them. And all of a sudden, that quieted the Quincy things we were hearing the last week. But now, with the way things have turned out, this could be their last conference home game. They're going to be loaded for bear, and we'll have all we can handle down there next week.
So Galesburg, Rock Island, and Quincy are all 4-3, and those are the best overall records in the Western Big Six. But somebody's going to win the conference, and that'll determine an automatic playoff bid for at least one of those teams. But this is what, Jim? 4 years in a row now that Galesburg and Quincy are going to meet with
something on the line.
With the winner securing a playoff eligibility and the loser maybe being out of it altogether. is what it's going to come down to. Yeah. Fourth straight year that'll happen.
Yep, and then you look at that last game and that Canton, Michigan team, even though they lost last week and to come in here is going to be really, really tough.
Yep.
But, you know, I got to thinking, if you have a week nine, you know, like we had in the past, if it was Peoria Central, that wouldn't be any easier this
year. Yeah, they put up 60 on whoever they played again here tonight.
You know, we might have a better chance against Canton, Michigan than Peoria Central. So, you know, maybe it's not all bad.
All right, so we'll close it out. Rocks defeat Galesburg here at Van Dyke, 41-35, and really a terrific high school football game, a fun game to watch, and just not the outcome that this big, excitable home crowd was hoping to see here tonight. So the Rocks are in the driver's seat in the Western Big Six, and as Jim said, Galesburg's got the tough one, having to rebound going down to Quincy next Friday night. Cardinals won tonight 4-0 over the Cubs. We'll have Redbirds tomorrow. I had that up here somewhere, and
4:37, I believe.
Okay.
Is the first pitch? So, is that right? Yeah, I believe that's right. So we'd be 3:45 neighborhood. Yeah.
For pregame tomorrow.
Yeah.
And can we sneak in the Illini game? Because when are they playing Iowa?
They're playing earlier, aren't they? 11 o'clock kick.
Okay.
So yeah,
so
easily.
Good stuff coming tomorrow. Hopefully.
Yep.
All right, for Nick Simpson at the Downtown Studios, that's Jim Lee. I'm Brad Binowitz. Streaks drop both games here tonight, sophomore and varsity level. And thanks for being with us here for Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.